The Senate Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct will come to order. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. Excuse me, I have a little frog in my throat. Just welcome everyone, and maybe we could start out by just introducing everyone at the table so we know who is with us today. I'm Senator Pappas. I'm chair of the subcommittee. Senator Fishbone? Well, let's start with Katie. Sorry.
I'm Katie Gasper. I'm legislative assistant to Senator Pappas.
Michelle Fishback, one of the members of the committee.
Bill Ingebrigtsen, state senator.
David Hahn, state senator.
David Zoll, Lockridge, Grindle, Nowen.
David Zoll?
Yes, Zoll.
Jeff Hayden, state senator.
Charlie Nowen, Lockridge, Grindle, Nowen, representing Senator Hayden.
Catherine Ryan, committee administrator.
Senator Tony Laurie, member of the...
And I'm Tom Bodern, Senate counsel for the subcommittee.
Okay, I just wanted to mention a few ground rules. This is an open hearing, and anyone is welcome to take pictures or to video, including our friends in the media. But we would like no flashes to be used, or please don't do anything that's disruptive. That would be the, and we'll keep the privilege, the opportunity, if anything disruptive goes on, to take some further actions. My office did receive the complaint on September 24th, 2014. We have a requirement to meet within 30 days. I apologize that it's been almost 30 days. I, unfortunately, was out of the country for much of the interceding time. We provided information to both parties and to the members about the proceedings, and we obtained agreement from the members to proceed at this time. In your packet, you have a memo from Senate Counsel Thomas Bodern, and really lays out the purpose of this hearing. Thank you. This is a probable cause hearing, and the purpose is to determine whether, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true, does the conduct described in the complaint, is that conduct subject to discipline under Senate rules? The subcommittee should also consider the probable value of evidence that will be provided to support or deny the complaint. If the subcommittee determines there is no probable cause, the complaint would be dismissed. If the subcommittee makes a finding of probable cause, the subcommittee may determine how to proceed further regarding the complaint. Just to remind members that, although there are many lawyers in the room, I'm not one of them, and so we should try to conduct this hearing with using kind of common sense, and we're not bound by rules of evidence applicable to judicial proceedings. At the hearing, every individual providing testimony to the committee will be sworn in so that all testimony is provided under oath. Senator Hayden and the complainant have the right to appear with counsel. The complainant has the right to present. Senator Hayden has the right to respond, and we will proceed in that manner today. Again, the committee's charge is make a determination regarding probable cause. We can also defer action until a time certain. If we want to carry over the committee, there's no reason that we have to finish it all today if we find we have more work to do, or we could decide to proceed with a more thorough investigation. I would like to take the complaints one at a time. So we'll start with complaint number one. And before we do that, though, we are going to swear in witnesses. I'm just going to check with counsel to see if I remembered everything.
Anyone who intends to testify will raise their hand.
Okay. Anyone who intends to testify before the subcommittee, could you please go to the end of the table, all of you, the lawyers, Senator Hayden, Senator Hahn, and then we'll take the oath. So just all please step to the witness table right now and stand. Senator Hand, does anyone else on the complainant list intend to testify?
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair, may I just ask
Please.
A question?
Yeah.
Are we taking testimony from, I guess, I don't recognize a couple of the folks down there. And that's why I'm just.
This, I assume you recognize Senator Hayden. This is Senator Hayden's father, Dr. Peter Hayden, and his wife, Mrs. Terry Hayden.
But Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Are we taking additional testimony?
It's not my intention to do that.
Then, Madam Chair, they don't necessarily need to be sworn in.
You don't need to be sworn in.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Okay. Then please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the evidence you shall give relative to the cause now under consideration shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please answer in the affirmative. I do.
I do.
Thank you. Okay, you may return to your seats. Okay, we can ask him one second. Okay, so we're going to take complaint number one first, and we will start out with Senator Hand. Senator Hand, we do have other material here that came from your office, and you can just let us know when you want that distributed. After Senator Hand completes his presentation, then the subcommittee can ask him questions. Then Senator Hayden or his attorney can ask questions, but Senator Hayden and Mr. Nowen or Mr. Zoll, it's not the time for you to present your case just to ask questions. You'll get that time after the question asking period.
And Madam Chair, can I just ask a point
Absolutely.
Of clarification?
Absolutely. Senator Fischbach, you're much more experienced with this than I am.
Is there, Madam Chair, the intent to complete complaint one, vote, disposition, the entire thing, and then go on to the second complaint?
That would be my intention.
All right. Thank you.
We can manage to do that. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, as a matter of procedure, in preparing my comments, I took this to be a response to the complaint, and so my comments are sequential, but they are brief, and they cover both complaints. And I guess I'd like to just make my comments, and then if you, as a committee, want to take them up one at a time, that's fine. But I didn't prepare two sets of comments, one for the first and one for the second. So I hope that's all right if I proceed in that manner.
Okay, as long as the committee members can keep that straight in their head, that we are going to separate the complaints. Because
sure.
You yourself did list right. them as complaint one and complaint two.
Yes.
And perhaps we should just focus on our questions then on complaint one and our responses on complaint one. Okay, Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for calling the hearing. All senators, Democrats and Republicans, take ethics very seriously, and we all strive to follow the rules and honor this great institution we are privileged to serve, the Minnesota Senate. No one wants to bring the body into disrepute or damage the trust we have with the people of Minnesota. And all that is to say that we don't take this lightly. Ethics in the Minnesota Senate is a process, and the filing of a complaint is just the first step, as Madam Chair has alluded to. We brought this ethics complaint to you, committee, against Senator Jeff Hayden, because we believe that if our complaint has merit, it represents a serious violation of our rules, and we believe there is enough evidence to warrant a further investigation. Specifically, we're asking the subcommittee to look into two issues regarding Senator Hayden's behavior. The first one, and by the way, I will refer to some documents, as Madam Chair has noted that you do have copies of these in your packet.
These are documents that came with the complaint?
Some came with the complaint, Madam Chair. Others were provided today.
Did you want those passed out then? They have not been passed
out.
Sure,
they can be distributed.
Madam Chair, if I may, I have not seen any additional documents. All I have are the documents that were attached to the complaint.
We'll make sure you get those.
Thank
Madam
you
Chair,
much.
We haven't seen them either.
Thank you.
I haven't seen them either.
So, Madam Chair.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you. So we're going to get these documents before the Senator Hand continues with his comments, is what I present.
Or I can continue while they're being distributed.
Okay. All right, that's what's being passed out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Senator Hahn, just to be clear, that these documents are all from you. So
yes,
they should, actually, we should add Senator Hahn's name to the documents so we know it comes from him. And can you tell us why you're presenting these additional documents?
Madam Chair and members, these are all public documents that we felt in the course of the presentation they are just provided as reference to the comments that I'm
that you're about to make.
That I'm making, yes.
Okay, I think everything's been passed out. Why don't you proceed?
So specifically, we're asking the Senate subcommittee to look into two issues. The first is whether Senator Hahn used his influence as a powerful member of the Senate to force, some have said, to bully the Minneapolis School District into awarding a grant to an organization he favors, the Community Standards Initiative. And I think you do have this document from the Star and Tribune.
I'm sorry, which document were you referring to?
There's an article that was published in the Star Tribune that was the maybe the initial public statement about.
And that was provided with the complaint?
That was provided originally.
Okay, if you could just say which is with the original complaint and which is new, that would be helpful.
During the 2013 session, Senator Hahn authored a bill appropriating $350,000 for a grant to the Minneapolis School District for a community engagement and empowerment project with the organization Community Standards Initiative, CSI, to reduce the achievement gap. And I believe you have in your packet a copy of that legislation. Ultimately, the legislature decided against funding this grant separately, and that is where it should have ended. But according to the Star Tribune, one source speaking for the Minneapolis School Board stated Senators Hahn and Champion threatened the school board members to award the grant or risk losing their state funding. The Minneapolis School Board spokesman confirmed that legislators had urged the support of CSI. Superintendent Bernadette Johnson also alluded to the influence of the senators in her statement, saying, quote, several board members, elected officials, and community members expressed support of this contract, which further influenced moving forward. And you have a document, I think, that was distributed today that is a copy of Superintendent Bernadette's statement. Senator Hahn is the Deputy Majority Leader in the Senate. He has the power to influence millions of dollars in funding for the Minneapolis School District. I can only imagine how hard it would have been for those board members to balance pleasing him by awarding the grant to CSI or risk offending him and losing his powerful advocacy at the Capitol. If what these board members are saying is true, then Senator Hahn is guilty of violating our rules and bringing disrepute to the Senate. Senate Rule 56 provides that members shall adhere to the highest standards of ethical conduct as embodied in the Minnesota Constitution, state law, and these rules. Senate Rule 56.3 provides that improper conduct includes conduct that violates a rule the Senate violates, accepted norms of Senate behavior, that betrays the public trust, or that tends to bring the Senate into dishonor or disrepute. I believe the subcommittee needs to investigate these charges, interview the people involved, and also hear from Senator Hahn himself. Beyond the improper influencing, the subcommittee also needs to look into whether Senator Hahn benefited financially from CSI receiving a grant. CSI has a relationship, possibly financially, with his father. The Star Tribune cited Peter Hahn as a part of CSI in an article about police brutality. I think that was provided originally in your packet. So the question is, Senator Hahn's father being paid by CSI? The subcommittee needs answers to that question. Senator Hahn's statement of economic interest lists nonprofit administrator as his profession. Again, I think this is also provided in your packet. Is the Community Standards Initiative one of his clients? Did he benefit financially from CSI receiving a $375,000 grant from the school district? The subcommittee needs to find that out. As senators, we all have our favorite groups that we think deserve funding, but it crosses a line if we use undue influence in our communities to unfairly elevate them to the top of the list over the objections of local authorities. Senate Rule 56.4 provides that members of the Senate shall disclose potential conflicts of interest in the discharge of senatorial duties as provided in Minnesota Statute Section 110A.07. When we have an interest, especially a financial interest, in an organization that comes before the legislature, it is in our rules and in state law to disclose that interest to the public. There's a very specific process for doing this in Chapter 10A.07 that Senator Hahn chose not to follow. Secondly, The subcommittee needs to investigate Senator Hayden's involvement with Community Action Minneapolis. Senator Hayden was appointed to the Board of Directors of Community Action as an elected official. And this, I think, was provided to you today. It's simply a bio on the Senate's website. Senator Hayden's bio word is lists him as a director of Community Action.
Senator Han, it sounds like your comments are separate. So if you could hold off on the second complaint comments, that might be clear for the committee to understand, not get so confusing. Could you jump over there? Did you have any other summary on the first complaint?
Well, I do have a summary, but it's sort of with both complaints, Madam Chair. So if you want to stop right now, I'll just wait and we can continue.
Okay. That, I think that would be clear.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we didn't make that clear.
Sorry.
But it just seems like it's hard if you have two separate complaints, we should, and they maybe have different probable cause standards, depending on what the committee decides. Okay, so Senator Han has made his comments. Now, are there any questions from the subcommittee of Senator Han? Kind of clarifying questions from. Okay, does Senator Hayden, do you have any questions for Senator Han?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Charlie Nowen, I do have a few questions for Senator Han. Senator Han, I'm Charlie Nowen representing Senator Hayden in this matter. The gist of your complaint relating to CSI, at least initial gist, is that there may be a conflict of interest. Is that right?
Madam Chair and Mr. Nowen, there are actually two things. One is that there was an allegation that was publicly reported that there was a threat of some kind made by Senator Hayden to influence the school board's actions with respect to a grant. And secondly, there is a question of if there is a financial interest involved.
All right, so let me ask you just a couple questions about the second thing.
Nowen.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Maybe the witness should be instructed as to how it
works. You should just go through me when you ask a question.
Thank you,
and then I'll call on you.
Madam Chair, if I may. If it turns out that there are no facts to support the allegation in your complaint that there is any financial connection between Senator Hayden or his family and CSI, you would agree there's no violation of the conflict of interest.
Madam Chair, the question about whether there is a financial interest at stake is one that, through the public information that we received that are related in the documents that we handed out, goes to the question of why would a member of the Senate take the actions that he allegedly took in his dealings with the school board. And that provides an answer. Whether or not that's true, we don't know. If it turns out that those interests are not in view, then there would not be a financial interest at stake. That's correct.
Thank you, and Madam Chair, if I could ask about the other aspect of the CSI complaint.
Please.
The information you're relying on for the idea that there was some undue influence, to use that term, is the Star Tribune article. Is that correct? Senator?
Madam Chair and Mr. Nowen, that certainly was the initial impetus to our complaint. I actually was called by a reporter to comment on that. I wasn't even aware of it when it was first published. I was on vacation. So that was the initial, I think, notice. But there have been additional comments made by members of the public that are asking that same kind of question and alleging the same kinds of things that our complaint alleges.
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Nowen.
Other than asking questions and the Star Tribune article, do you have any answers to those questions about whether there was undue influence or, to use your term, extortion or things like that?
I think that we're just trying to find some clarifying information. So, Senator Han, the question is basically, do you have any other information to present to the subcommittee?
Madam Chair, Mr. Nowen, the information that we have, as I've indicated before, is public information that, again, if true, raises serious questions about our ethics. The purpose of this hearing is to decide, again, in your words, Madam Chair, that if the allegations are true, does it rise to a standard that needs to be investigated? So to establish the factual case of whether or not there was such a threat or such behavior, I think that would be in the cause of an investigation that this committee may choose to do. But for now, I am relying on the publicly reported activities of Senator Hayden and members of the Minneapolis School Board and others.
And I have one more question, if I may, Madam Chair.
Mr. Nowen.
Have you ever spoken personally to the reporter about the allegations or to the unnamed source that's referred to as the source of the allegations in the article?
Madam Chair, Mr. Nowen, as I indicated, my first awareness of this was a call from a reporter at the Minneapolis paper asking me about the situation, about the circumstances. I had not seen the article, as I said. But other than that, I have not made an effort to talk to members of the Minneapolis School Board or others directly.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I have no further questions.
Okay. Then why don't we move on to presentation from Senator Hayden.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Senators, members of this subcommittee, as you know, I represent Senator Hayden, and we are here to ask that this complaint, which I'll call the CSI complaint for shorthand, should be dismissed for lack of probable cause. Questioning another senator's ethics should not be taken lightly as a matter of honor and as a matter of ethics in and of itself. It should only be done after investigating the facts and having firsthand knowledge adequate to show probable cause. Now, we have members of the subcommittee materials that, if I could approach the chair.
It's okay. We will send someone over to pass them out.
And I direct your attention, Senator, Madam Chair, and Senators, to what we've marked as all the exhibits have all marked Exhibit A, B, C, etc. I'm looking at Exhibit D, which is the definition of probable cause used in the context of an OAH, Office of Administrative Hearings. And I want to compare that to the memorandum dated September 26 from Mr. Bodern that sets out, and in fact, the Madam Chair, you read a portion of that to begin this session. And then it indeed says, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true, whether the conduct is subject to discipline. But it also goes on to say this, the subcommittee should also consider the probable value of evidence that will be provided to support or deny the complaint. That is what this committee is asked to do at this subcommittee hearing, to weigh to quote Mr. Bodern, the probable value of evidence. And that, of course, comports with the definition of probable cause that we use in my world, which is the legal world, but including the legal world that affects political matters and as decided by the Office of Administrative Hearings. Now, with that in mind, you heard from Senator Chan that the Senate takes ethics seriously, and that is undisputed. But also, it's just as undisputed, members of the subcommittee, that this subcommittee takes ethics complaints seriously. And there has to be a factual basis for that complaint or something demonstrated at a probable cause hearing. Or this is the juncture where this subcommittee to vote to state there is no probable cause. So let's talk about that. When you bring a complaint about the ethics of a fellow senator, you start by collecting evidence or some kind of facts. Typically, it's in writings, and I've looked at all of the ethics matters that have been considered by this august body over the years. It begins with either something in writing or something said, where there is a report of what's being said, or some conduct, sometimes criminal conduct, for example. And that's true whether you're in the context actually of criminal matters where you're investigating crimes or civil matters in court. But I think that this is clear from all the proceedings in the past, Madam Chair and members of this subcommittee, that in the context of an ethics charge, well, you're questioning the integrity of a fellow senator, that's even more important to have facts, something solid to turn to before you even begin that matter. In this case, as we just heard from Senator Hahn, and it's clear from my own questioning, there's not that. This complaint falls far short, and we'll begin with the CSI portion of it. First, I'll start with a conflict of interest, and then I'll get to the other aspect, the second aspect of the complaint. The essence of the conflict of interest ethical complaint for CSI is that somehow there has been some money that has gone to Senator Hayden or his family as a result of the contract that the Minneapolis School Board entered into with CSI. And really, if you look at the articles, there's nothing at all to support anything that went into Senator Hayden's hands. In fact, he will say, he's already sworn under oath, he will say in a moment, he got nothing, no personal gain out of CSI contract, zero. But what's in those articles is this suggestion that somehow something went to his father, Dr. Peter Hayden, who is a longtime, upstanding, that is, member of this state and the Minneapolis community. And that's based on some comments made in a news article and nothing more, where there's quotations from Dr. Hayden. Well, if you turn to Exhibit F, I believe it is, of these materials, here is a letter that Dr. Hayden sent to the Star Tribune in the aftermath of those articles. And you can read the whole letter. I'm going to read one sentence from it, and it's in the third full paragraph. To be clear, I am not and never have been an employee or board member of CSI. I have never had a contractual relationship with CSI and have never received any compensation from CSI. As you see, what happened here is that when the complainants read those articles, they misread them. They misread them in this sense, that Dr. Hayden was indeed involved in community efforts relating to death, murders, and other aspects of what's happening in Minneapolis, and in particular North Minneapolis. CSI was one of the organizations. Dr. Hayden, being an active community member, participated with CSI and many other organizations, including the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office and other organizations, not as a member of CSI, but a part of a group of interested organizations, individuals who were very concerned about what was happening in the city of Minneapolis. That is not any basis for a determination that in some way or another, Senator Hayden or his family have received anything of personal gain from Community Standards Initiative, or CSI, because they haven't. And I have with me, and Dr. Hayden, who would be willing to testify to that, but he said it in his letter that we provided to this group. And in a moment, you'll hear from Senator Hayden, and he will say unequivocally that he's never got any gain from this. His concern is with the achievement gap and other issues in the district that he represents. And he, like many others, thought that local organizations could help bridge that gap. So that's issue number one that's raised with regard to CSI. Issue number two is, and I'm going to use language from the press release that the complainants issued at the time of this complaint, is that somehow Senator Hayden has bullied or threatened or extorted the school board into contracting with CSI. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. This started with a bill that was presented to this very Senate. All you all probably knew about it back in 2013. And the design of the bill was to have CSI
be paid to help bridge that achievement gap. That's nothing. That's nothing under the cover or underground or anything like that. That's what was done. Ultimately, there were hearings on that bill, and there was a need to find money. There was an amendment to that bill, and that is Exhibit, let's see if I can find that, Exhibit E in our materials. That exhibit was by Senator Champion, and it said that CSI and Urban League should be considered for money. Now, in that context, this is what happened, and there's nothing in the articles that disputes that. There was a discussion between the Minneapolis School Board on the one hand and Senator Hayden and Senator Champion, I believe, on the other, because they didn't want to have money subtracted from some other funding they have. So they volunteered to find the funding themselves, and ultimately they voted, by the way, 8-0 on providing that money. In all the materials you've been provided, and in one other exhibit that I want to bring to this group's attention, there has never, ever been a statement of any kind by anybody who represents the school board that suggests that they were threatened, bullied, or extorted in any way regarding this contract. Now, true enough, there have been articles about whether or not CSI has performed and whether it was too big a bite for them to do what they wanted to do. The school board's on top of that. But that has nothing to do with the issue of the ethical charge here. That just has to do whether or not that organization was effective. And if you look at the exhibit, Exhibit G in this packet, this is something also from the news media, except it's a written question with written answers that were submitted by on behalf of the Minneapolis School Board, Minneapolis Public Schools, to questions posed them by Star Tribune reporters. And if you look at the bottom of page two of Exhibit G, the questions and answers that are contained there, you will see, number one, there is no mention of anything untoward, any kind of bullying or threatening or improper deals or anything like that. Nothing like that. They're just talking about this, the use of CSI and the role of Senator Hayden and Senator Champion. And all they use is the words they lobbied for us to contract with CSI. You know, that's not unethical. There's nothing unethical about, because their charge as senators is to deal with issues in their constituents in the districts in the city of Minneapolis, and, of course, to look out for the interests of the state. That was done. So you look at that question and the next two, nothing at all that suggests. So then you think, well, why are we here on this idea there's been something untoward that's happened with regard? Because otherwise, this is sort of a typical kind of situation that comes up when there's legislation regarding local government and the local government says, no, I want to approach it a different way. All right? Well, because apparently of one unnamed source in the article that the complainants haven't even spoken to, that's never been identified. We don't even know what that person's connection is with anything. Weigh that against this Q&A, which is Exhibit G or whatever I just said, and weigh it against what's missing from this. There is absolutely no facts that would suggest anything improper done. In fact, it started off with a bill that was considered by this body, not this session, but the 2013 session. So let me conclude by saying this. True, ethics are taken very seriously by the Senate, and they're taken very seriously by Senator Hayden. Similarly, charges of ethics have to be taken very seriously, too. And to have to respond to an ethics charge where there is no factual basis for the two grounds of it, and the only evidence we've heard today are newspaper articles, but there's no investigation that's been done, no talking to the source, nothing, and we have directly counter evidence that doesn't stand up in a probable cause context. Exactly as Mr. Bodden said to you, should also consider the probable value of evidence that will be provided to support or deny the complaint. Those are all my comments on this, Senator Hayden. If I may, Madam Chair,
He may speak.
Senator Hayden, Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair, is it appropriate if I ask counsel a couple of questions regarding his presentation?
I think it will be, but let's let Senator Hayden make his statement, and then we'll take questions from the subcommittee and then questions from you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I, too, have kind of a summary of statements, but we're going to take them one by one. I'll be brief, but I want to be very clear that I've never threatened, bullied, or extorted the Minneapolis public schools to enter into a contract with CSI or the Community Standards Initiative. Thank you. I'm offended by this baseless attack on my integrity. I've never realized any personal gain from Community Standards Initiative and in no connection between CSI and my father. The complainants are completely unfounded, and I respectfully request that the subcommittee conclude that there's no probable cause to support the allegations and dismiss this complaint.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from members of the subcommittee? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for the opening remarks, both to Senator Hahn and also Senator Hayden and his representative. Exhibit D, I have a question, and you'd thrown that out there, Mr.
Nowlin.
Turn the name, please, if you would. There you go.
Sorry. Charlie Nowlin.
Mr. Nowlin. The test of probable cause is whether the evidence worthy of consideration brings the charge within reasonable probability. Reasonable probability is pretty wide open. Would you agree with that? Or maybe you could describe to me what reasonable probability would be, at least through your description.
Mr. Nowlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Ingebrigtsen. Reasonable probability in the probable cause sense means that there has to be a belief that the misconduct in this case actually occurred. And the first part of this Exhibit D sort of gets to that, whether there are sufficient facts in the record to believe a violation of law has occurred as alleged in the complaint. In the law context and in the Office of Administrative Hearing context, where many political matters are resolved, that means there have to be facts. Now, in this context, I'm not saying about legally admissible facts that you have to, you know, prove the authenticity of them, but there has to be facts that provide the basis for it. And very typically, at the probable cause stage, complaints are dropped if there are not facts. Here we have, what are the facts? We have not even any statements or allegations made by the complainants, but rather a total reliance on innuendo because of his job, he may be working for him. Number two, the mistake, the error that his father was somehow working at CSI, and an unnamed source which said whatever it said, but it didn't, but it is completely rejected by the written interview and answers that the school board gave, let alone the testimony of Senator Hayden in front of you. So in that case,
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. And so it comes to the basis that we're here to try and find out if there's probable cause to move forward. I understand that. And part of the concern that I have, or as well as I think Senator Hayden should have, is that we air all the facts that seem to be missing here. And I know this body has an opportunity at a given time to actually subpoena. We have the power to subpoena, and it seems to me that we're missing something here, and that is a representative from the school board. Those are very strong allegations by the school board to the media. Make such an allegation, me, at least it is to me. And I, being one of the politicians at the table or in the room, we certainly love the media when we think they're reporting something good. When they're not reporting something so good in our mind, we don't like them. I don't want to determine that. I don't want to be able to determine whether it's good or bad. But something really missing here is a member that this media might have talked to, because these are very strong allegations that Senator Hayden actually bullied. And to me, that's something that we all need to get to the bottom of. So, Madam Chair, I'm not sure where we go from here in a probable cause hearing, but my feeling is that we would certainly pursue this And I clear the air one way or the other, quite frankly. And if I was senator accused of this by a school board in my district, I would want them at the table, and they're not here at the table.
I think we don't maybe know who to have at the table, since it was an unnamed source, and this Exhibit G also does not indicate who gave this interview. Do you know, Mr. Nowlin?
I do. These were questions that were posed to the school board and were the official response of the school board, of that organization. And I'll add something that we just, this just came in, right? Something that was just submitted to Madam Chair, this group, which was the, I think, the opening document provided to you by Senator Hahn. It is a superintendent statement on CSI dated October 14, 2014 at 1:30 p.m. Two things noteworthy about this, Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen. Number one, there is no mention of any bullying, threats, or anything like that. None. And number two, if you look at the paragraph a little bit below the midway point, the paragraph that begins, "It is important to me," it states, "Several board members, elected officials, and community members expressed support of this contract, which further influenced moving forward with the contract." One other point I want to make, Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen. The statement in the newspaper is not from a member of the school board. We don't know who it's from. It's from an unnamed source. What we have to counter that in trying to disprove this negative is the question and answer officially done by the school board and submitted as part of the Star and Tribune, written answers to written questions, and the superintendent statement. Neither one of those has anything to indicate that there's anything untoward that has happened, any kind of threat, bullying, extortion, or anything of that order. That's all I have to say.
Senator Lurie, on this topic?
Yeah, on this topic. I mean, and I think I'm going to try to call members back to the memo that that you received and you forwarded to us from Council Fodder here. And the purpose for the probable cause hearing is to determine whether, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true, the conduct described is subject to discipline. It's not really for this committee to go after facts. I mean, I think that in every previous ethics complaint that's been filed, and I went through the Legislative Research Library and read them, there were actual facts that were undisputed in the complaints, and this really is based on hearsay, and we're public officials. There's a lot of things said about us in a lot of places, and I think that what you're requesting here, in a finding of probable cause to spin up our subpoena powers is an extraordinary request. It's an extraordinary step, and I'm not seeing the facts actually laid out in the four corners of the complaint that came forward, and I thought maybe I'd hear more about them here. But I'm really struggling, and I do take this incredibly seriously. But you know, when I listened to Senator Hahn talk about Senator Hahn choosing not to follow 10A07. I mean, I didn't see that. You know, I mean, 10A07 is actually fairly narrow, and in fact, it does not extend to family members. You know, the disclosure.
It's the conflict of interest disclosure requirement.
Yes, the conflict of interest disclosure requirements that are a real basis of this complaint. And so, when I go back to the allegations in the complaint and try to find the facts, I'm not seeing them. And when I look at the purpose for this probable cause hearing, I'm really struggling. Because, again, the purpose is to determine whether, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true, it forms the basis of discipline. And I don't see the facts in the complaint.
Let's go back to questions from the subcommittee for Senator Hayden and his counsel, and then we'll move shortly into discussing the facts more. Does Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you have another question?
Yes,
Senator
Madam Chair, and thank you. And Senator Hayden, it is your, at least your counsel's testimony, and I guess you did testify, that you did not do what has been reported as a bully tactic. You did not say, you know, I'm going to use my undue influence or my influence as a deputy majority leader to sway you in any fashion at all. There was no comments whatsoever. Is that what your testimony is today?
Senator Hayden.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, that is my testimony. I did not use my influence as a state senator or deputy majority leader to tell the Minneapolis Public School Board to give a contract to this organization.
Okay, any questions now? More questions from the subcommittee. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. And so follow-up. So there was no conversations between you and the school board that would lead them to indicate that, boy, we better pay attention here because we're not going to be funded. Nothing whatsoever.
Senator Hayden.
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, as I said in my statement, and I'll say today, there were no conversations that we would somehow punish or take money away or do anything negative to the Minneapolis Public Schools by giving if they did not award a contract to this group.
Okay. Questions by Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a couple of questions, Mr. Nowen. I want to go back to your Exhibit F that you pointed out. What is the date of that letter? There's no date on it. I just wondered if you could tell me.
Which exhibit are you talking about?
This is Exhibit H and the F in the packet that Mr. Nowen distributed.
October 8th or October 9th was emailed to or sent to the Star Tribune.
Okay. And Mr. Nowen, Madam Chair, Mr. Nowen, what was the date this letter was published in the Star Tribune?
I do not know, Madam Chair and members, I do not know that it's been published. All I know is it's been delivered.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. And Madam Chair, I guess my comment on this is Mr. Nauman is introducing this as evidence that there was nothing to be, no complaint that could be made. But if this is a private letter that was sent privately by Dr. Hayden to the paper that never got published, there's no possible way that I could or anyone else could have known the existence of it. And I think that, that whether or not there's a relationship there that's financial, I think that is a question that is easily answered. All that needs to happen is acquiring the documents of CSI to find out who their contractors were. And I think that would establish once and for all whether or not there was any relationship at all between Senator Hayden and CSI or Dr. Hayden and CSI. And then secondly, Madam Chair and Mr. Nowen, in your comments you said that there was no reported allegation of improper behavior, but you kind of have gone back and forth on that, and the document that I initially pointed to does quote somebody, and you're right, it's not a named source, that says that the senators threatened to withhold state aid if they didn't approve the contract. Now, that is fairly strong language, and if we assume that what we're being presented is true, is it worth investigating? I look at that and I say, well, if I'm Senator Hayden, I'd want to know if somebody is besmirching my reputation, I want to have them come to this committee, put under oath, and say I did or didn't say that. I don't think that the Star Tribune is in the business of printing things willy-nilly, and even though they're not very friendly to me most of the time. But nevertheless, I think to say there's no report of improper behavior just isn't true. There is a report. It's sort of a he said, she said. I think it would behoove the committee to find out what was said by whom and in what way did this happen. We, in fact, prior to this committee hearing, I sent a letter to Senator Pappas and others just saying, you know, these are things that we could get if there is a question of fact here. Let's get the people involved, bring them to the committee, put them under oath. And the response, of course, was, well, this isn't a investigative hearing. It's probable cause. So obviously we don't have those people here. But I think in order to establish Senator Hayden's reputation, that needs to happen. You have an allegation in the paper that something improper was said by Senator Hayden. I think that's a serious allegation. If true, it is a serious violation of ethical norms. It ought to be sorted out. We ought to find out what the truth of the matter is. The last thing, Madam Chair and Mr. Nowen, you pointed to Exhibit G, which is an interview, and you pointed to this as a sort of proof that there was nothing untoward going on here. But I read this, and I look at the last question on the second page of the document. It says, would you have awarded this contract without the political influence of Senator Hayden and Champion? And the answer is that I'm not going to speculate. They refused to answer that question. Why? Why wouldn't they have said clearly, well, they had nothing to do with it? Why would they leave the door open to say, well, I'm not going to speculate on whether we would or we wouldn't? I read that as saying, well, maybe there was some influence that was being exerted in an untoward manner that made them award that contract. So I'm not clear that the exhibit that you're providing that is countering our testimony is really, in fact, maybe supporting the questions that we are raising here. That if you look at what has been reported about the interaction with the senators and the school board and the kinds of things that were at stake, the fact that there were members of the staff of the school board who did not think that CSI was an organization that had the capacity to do this, and yet, nevertheless, they awarded the contract, you have to ask the question, why? Why was that done? And I think that is the question that we have. We think it deserves an answer, and we think it deserves an answer both for the clearing of the Senate name as well as potentially clearing Senator Hayden's name. And I think the only way you're going to get at that is if you call and put under oath people who are alleged to have said things or who have firsthand knowledge of whatever the interaction was between Senator Hayden and the school board.
Senator Han, did you have any other questions? Because it seems like you've moved into your rebuttal, or did you want to say any more?
Well, I guess the major point I'm trying to get at here is that we were not prepared because we understood this to be a hearing to probable cause to bring people here by subpoena. I don't even know if I have individually the power of subpoena to get them to testify under oath about what did or did not get said. But it seems to me that that is the question that has to be decided before we can determine if there's been an ethical violation or not. You've got a report in the paper that said this happened. Senator Hayden is saying it did not happen. Somebody's not telling the truth.
Rebuttal by Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee. In brief response to Senator Hand's comments and argument just now, no one has made an allegation on the record that anything that the complainants are accusing Senator Hayden of doing happened. There's nothing on the record. All we have is the article where there's a comment made by an unnamed source. That is not an allegation on the record. That is just something in a news article. Now, as opposed to that, what evidence do we have that it didn't happen? Well, first of all, we have testimony under oath by one of your colleagues who has testified unequivocally that it didn't happen, that he didn't bully or extort or threaten the school board. Second, we have the in-writing interview that no matter how Senator Hand tries to interpret it, makes clear that the board was hoping that CSI would assist. And the third thing is sort of connected with that was the first exhibit that you got today, the new exhibits, if you will, where the statement made by the superintendent that said that members of the board, public and staff, were in favor of this matter. Now, I guess I will say in conclusion, and I will echo some of the comments of Senator Lurie about, I've read all those cases too, or all the summaries at least, I've never seen one where there weren't some unequivocal facts that form the basis of it, so this group can have something to address and to determine whether those unequivocal facts need to be further explored and whether they lead to a violation of, in this case, the conflict rule or some other rule of this chamber. So now we're facing this situation, whether this body is willing to accept what essentially is an anonymous statement, no source, no name, no details, as a basis for engaging in a protracted ethics investigation. What does that mean going forward? Has it ever happened before? In my knowledge, based on my reading of the summaries, it has not. And so I would ask, and again, on behalf of Senator Hayden, ask that this subcommittee, Madam Chair, and senators determine that there is no probable cause for what I'll call the CSI complaint.
Okay, I think then it's time for a deliberation by the subcommittee. Then Senator Lurie.
I'm going to echo a couple of these things. Again, I mean, we're in a probable cause hearing to try to determine whether there's probable cause to pursue this if the facts are alleged are true. You know, Senator Hand's last statement was, you know, we have a he said, she said, and someone's not telling the truth. And it's our job to also, you know, weigh a little bit the value of the potential statements that are being made. And if somebody's not telling the truth, we have, you know, a colleague, a member here on oath, under oath, swearing, and somebody, an unknown source. And again, I mean, we're public officials. And people say things about us with great regularity. And if we're going to come to this body and start issuing subpoenas every time anyone alleges something, even if it's not attributed to a person that I don't even know who we would call. This quote is unattributed. It just really is a scary thought. I mean, I tell you what, I wouldn't sit on this committee for very long if that's where we're going as a body, and sit here every day and entertain anonymous allegations against any one of our members, be they from, you know, which side of the aisle they come from. I mean, I'm really looking for a set of facts laid out. And so if it's going to raise to that level where we institute this, you know, rather extreme step, this new precedent where we use our subpoena powers and our investigatory powers in a way that I can't see them having been used before, I would at least want to see that the members bringing the allegations had done a great deal of due diligence to attempt to get at the facts through every single avenue that they have available to them, freedom of information requests, calling members of the school board, talking to our colleague, Senator Hayden, who will take our calls, I'm sure. I as soon as this complaint was alleged, I haven't talked to anybody. But, I mean, you know, we have a whole set of avenues for fact-finding that are within our powers to make some phone calls, to do some inquiries. And at a minimum, I would like to see that those avenues are exhausted and that we have the most extensive and thorough set of facts laid before us prior to starting to issue subpoenas. I mean, that's a precedent I'm truly worried about for, you know, for our body.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Lori and Council, you both talked about precedent that have been set or committees that not heard of anything like this before or previous ethics complaints, which I've, I'll have to say, unfortunately, been part of sitting on this committee. It's never a fun committee to sit on. But I do recall one senator coming to the committee before there would be potential ethics violations brought against that particular senator to clear the air. So to say that this, you know, this is something, and Senator Lori, you keep referring to the facts. You keep referring to facts that I don't think we have the facts. The facts are very clear here that Senator Hayden, at least in my mind, and I know Senator Hayden. We get along just, I think, very, very, very well, actually, like I do with everybody sitting here. But I want this cleared. If I'm him, I want this cleared. But it's also very questionable when there's a bill made out in the state Senate for $350,000 and basically earmarked. Now, we don't like that word, but nevertheless, those dollars were going to go to the CSI. Function in the school district. I mean, it was clearly going to go there, or that was the intent. And I know now that there's testimony that Dr. Hayden has not been part of this. He's not got any physical, or excuse me, any monetary gain by this at all. But with these kind of allegations out there, you talk about a conflict of interest. Would it not be better for one of Senator Hayden's sitting senators on whatever committee he's on to bring this forward, because, in fact, he is actually a, I forget, what is it, a community organizer, community, what's the nonprofit administrator. Obviously, that works with the community. Somebody that he works with and knows very closely is going to benefit by this. And I don't think we can, any of us can say that some of the legislation that we pass, people aren't going to benefit by it. Of course they are. But these are pretty strong allegations, and they should be cleared. And again, somebody isn't here at the table that precipitated this, and this is somebody from the school board. And we need to hear from them. And at that point in time, when they come forward and testify under oath like everybody else has, that there was never a problem here, I don't see that we can move any further with this. But that's where we need to go.
Well, Senator Ingebrigtsen, there is a precedent here for not taking testimony at a probable cause hearing. If we were to continue, then we obviously could do that. But it does seem to me that we have in front of us information. We have the newspaper article that was in the complaint, and we also have the that was, as mentioned, was a source from the school board or someone connected with the school board. We have the superintendent's statement, which is not being contested, that this is not the superintendent's statement. And we have the school board interview for Insight News, which has not been contested, that that's not the school board. So we have various statements from the school board that if we just rely on that instead of someone actually coming physically, then we can look at this information to determine whether there was probable cause for undue influence. And I think in the other matter with Dr. Hayden, who is here, but we are not hearing from him, but we do have his letter that he sent to the Star Tribune, which they chose not to print. We can't be responsible for that. But at least we have a statement that he's been willing to share with us that says he is not an employee of the school board and doesn't benefit financially from it. And then we have Senator Hayden's statement that he does not benefit financially from CSI. So, you know, if we assume that the information that is presented, everyone is presenting their information under oath, is true, then it seems to me we have enough to go on to make a decision.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair, are you implying that the information that we had that we were supplied with the papers were under oath? I guess you said they hadn't been disputed that they were from, but I mean, the folks that are here are under oath, none of the information, the paper information we have. I mean, we're just assuming that it has been presented.
That's right. If we assume. I said if we assume. Okay. So, I mean, we can make the same kind of assumption about the newspaper article. Is that the newspaper article, in my opinion, seems a little more iffy than here, where we have actually Dr. Hayden in the room, at least. We have you yourself supplied, the complainant supplied us with this statement from the superintendent. And I, you know, if we assume that nobody is lying with this written material, that it's all relatively accurate, then I think, you know, I'm thinking we have enough to go on here for just to determine probable cause. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess just a couple of comments I'd like to make. To my knowledge, and I've not been here for a great length of time, but long enough, I am not aware of any senator in a newspaper article being accused of behavior that is patently unethical. And I can just tell you that if it were me and I got accused of something I believed to be false, I would have insisted on an ethics hearing to clear my name. If the Minneapolis paper prints a story that says there are people on the school board that think that you are exerting undue influence to approve a contract that they may not have wanted to approve, and I'm being accused of that, and that didn't happen, I would want to have those people come and tell the truth in front of a committee under oath and clear my name. That's one thing.
Senator Hahn, I'm sorry you're not on the committee. If you continue, then I'm going to have to ask, just to let you know, to allow Senator Hayden to then rebut what you're saying. Okay.
And I guess the point is that I think that this is a service that we owe to the Senate as well as Senator Hayden. And there has not been any question in this document that has been provided by Mr. Nowen, the school board interview, there was no question, was there undue influence exerted? There was no question at all. They were not asked to answer that question. And so I can't, to me, there is no countervailing evidence that says, well, that didn't happen. We have the newspaper account that said it did happen. We don't have anybody else saying, no, that didn't happen, at least in a reported document.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Mr. Nowen.
And members of the subcommittee, I think I've already discussed many of these points and all of the materials that have been submitted, not just by me, but by Senator Hand, that say unequivocally that no one from the school board side has ever said anything about this. We have one unnamed source, and we don't know anything about it. It's just an allegation. But if there's any question beyond the testimony under oath of your colleague, Senator Hayden, just a few minutes ago, that he flatly denies it, how about the letter that was submitted to the Star Tribune and published in the Star Tribune as part of the packet that Senator Hand has presented to you? And the letter is dated September 18, 2014, 1122, and it states, the headline is, contrary to report, Minneapolis school officials weren't bullied to back program. It's part of the packet we just received. And in that, it's an article by Jeff Hayden and Bobby Joe Champion, and in that, among other things, they say unequivocally, now this is more than a month ago, about these allegations. They were taken aback by the claim, and they say, quote, untrue. We were not involved with anything of the sort. So this idea that, if I may, members of the committee, that can be the name can be named, this can be cleared right here, right now, because under the standards of this committee for probable cause, there has to be something, some fact that forms the start of it, the basis of it. There has to be somebody saying that. And here we have everything in denial, everything written. There's argument by Senator Hand, but nothing beyond that. And I think under those circumstances that we're here, and Senator Hayden is here, members, to clear his name, and that's what he's done.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And how do we get to the facts, members? I guess the question would be directed to you, Mr. Nowen. How do we get to the facts if we don't allow those people to come in and testify under oath? I'm not following this. If there's enough question here, whether the air should be cleared, at the very least, Senator Hayden should have that ability. We should have these people coming forward. So the documents that you bring forward really aren't under oath any more than, I guess, the documents that the newspaper printed are under oath. But how do we get to that if we don't get to the facts? And in order to get to the facts, we have to at least put a question out there. Is there enough to move forward to obtain the facts, to clear it one way or the other? And again, if I was being accused of this, I would want that. And I think Senator Hayden wants that as well.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, it seems to me that we have an unnamed source who has not come forward, who has not asked to testify, who has not been named, if you will. We don't know if that person is a member of the school board or not. And we have our colleague, Senator Hayden, who has said under oath that he did not bully anyone. Now, certainly, the reality is we all lobby. We lobby each other. We lobby the other body. We lobby our city council and our school board and our county board if we don't like something they're doing, if we're upset about them for something. I have a meeting coming up with my some administrative people from my city council about something that happened I'm upset about. But when we have a colleague of ours who says under oath, I did not cross the line, I did not bully, I did not threaten, I did not attempt to exert undue influence, then it just seems to me we ought to respect that.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair,
Senator Fischbach.
Could I just, Madam Chair, ask what the process is going to be? Because with the folks sitting at the table, they de facto become part of the committee, right, and they're involved. And so I would like a clarification as to how this
thank
committee
you for bringing that up. I think I started it by calling on Senator Hand, forgetting. It should just be a deliberation among members of the committee. If the members of the committee choose to ask questions of Senator Hahn or Senator Hayden, I think that's still perfectly allowable.
So, Madam Chair, specific direct questions asked towards the testifiers. Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I just have one. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hayden, would you like to have the superintendent come here under oath and testify one way or the other as to whether these comments went on? Not the superintendent. I'm talking the chairman of the school board that we're talking about. Would you like to have that done?
Senator Hayden.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, you know, I think what I think is that it is very hard for an unnamed source that we don't know who it is to say that somehow Senator Champion and I bullied this group, the Minneapolis Public School Board, into giving a contract to the Community Standards Initiative. What I know is that the superintendent of the schools, through what we've shown, there also is another article that we didn't bring today that outlined from the Minneapolis Public School Board's chairman that talked about the process in awarding the contract, which I didn't want to get into because that was not something I was involved in. That talked about the process and how they got to the point of awarding them the contract, and frankly, how they got to the point of suspending the contract. So I think that that's there. What I would not like to do is to start dragging anybody, no matter who it is, whoever Senator Hahn may think could be there, to try to figure out if there is someone there. If there was a person on the record, if Richard Mammon, the board chair, or anyone else said that we intimidated, I think that they would come forward and say as much. This is an allegation of someone that we don't know, and I'm, as like Tony, Senator Lori, and Senator Pappas have articulated, it's hard to defend yourself against someone who you don't know who it is. What I can tell you, as a Minnesota State Senator, as a guy who came in when you came in, who served with all of you honorably, clearly, I did not intimidate or use my power or say that I was going to take something away from the Minneapolis Public School Board in order for them to award this contract.
Senator Lori.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, I mean, it's a very public airing and calling in question the character and reputation of a colleague of ours, and it's something that we need to take very seriously. And a question in a probable cause hearing, I guess, I have a sense where this goes, but the burden of proof should be evaluated. And my understanding, and I'll ask counsel to tell me if I'm mistaken, but I mean the complainants, carry the burden of proof of coming forward with those facts that form the basis, if presumed true, for disciplinary action. And I keep coming back and reading the 16 points on complaint number one, and I see possibly employed, the financially benefited, possibly himself. I mean, just implications. I see, I don't see the facts here. And I'm, led to believe that on this first complaint, at least, the complainants have not met the burden of proof that would make it so that I would want to spin up our investigatory wing, and in a way that really hasn't been done before. This is not something that this committee has a great deal of experience with. I mean, I've read the rules over and over again. I do see that we have some powers that are granted us. But it's not a simple thing of calling one person here to testify. I mean, if we spin up those powers, we're going down a path that's going to take up significant time and resources, and it's not just a simple airing of this one alleged fact based on an anonymous source that has not come forward. I mean, I guess I would have a question of Senator Hand. Did you call this reporter from the Star Tribune to try to find out, even if not who the source was, are they actually affiliated even with the school board? I mean, you've said that a school board member alleged this, and it just says one source. It doesn't say their affiliation. It doesn't say in what manner they received this information. It's very, very little in terms of who this person is. And so did you try to contact the Star Tribune?
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Lurie. I have not said that it was a school board member that made this allegation.
Madam Chair, you actually did.
Madam Chair, I do not think that we said there was a source from the Minneapolis School Board. Did not say it was a school board member.
You said from the school board.
From the school board.
We don't know that.
Madam Chair and Senator Lurie, to answer your question specifically, I have not tried to press the reporter of the Star Tribune to reveal her source. We did, however, write a letter, as I indicated before, to the committee saying that if we have to establish a burden of proof, as Senator Lurie has indicated, which I did not believe that this was a hearing where we were going to try to establish proof, but simply to ask the prima facie question, are there things here that warrant an investigation? If we had to prove these things, then I would have hoped that the committee would have responded to our letter favorably and put these people under subpoena, bring them here and get their testimony. And we made several suggestions of who those people ought to be. And I will tell you that I have had conversations with other people that leads me to believe that this did happen. And if necessary, we can bring those people in under oath. But I did not think that was the purpose of today's hearing, was to have a trial about establishing the proof. To me, the question was, are there things that are being presented that on their face, if true, raise a question that needs to be investigated? I think that burden, that level of has clearly been met. There are things here that need to be investigated. They're either true or false. If true, they're very damaging to the Senate and to Senator Hayden. If false, then that completely exonerates and clears both the Senate and Senator Hayden. And I think one or the other of those things has to happen.
Madam Chair. Senator Fischbach.
Senator Lurie has a follow-up. Senator Hand, you were also given the letter from Senate Counsel Tom Bodern about the purpose of this first probable cause hearing. I mean, it's been pretty clear that it's to determine whether, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true. It's not a fishing expedition to go find facts. I mean, I think that you need to at least make every attempt to collect facts to support your allegations rather than do this. And you have this letter from Tom Bodern. I saw that you were CC'd on it. So you did know what this hearing was about and your request to take the investigatory powers, institute the investigatory powers prior to the finding of probable cause. I think Senator Pappas, her response was appropriate, that the first step is probable cause, with three prongs. There is probable cause upon which we investigate further, and that would take, you know, some discussion about how we proceed. There is no probable cause, or we postpone to a time certain for a host of reasons we might decide to do that. But on the burden of proof, I mean, I guess you questioned whether I was correct on that. Maybe I will ask counsel to describe the burden of proof in a hearing.
Mr. Bodern.
Madam Chair and Senator Lurie, although the materials before the subcommittee don't reference it, and I don't know that it's been discussed explicitly, it's a basic principle of any proceeding like this that whoever is making the allegations would have the burden of proof. I know it's been raised from time to time in past subcommittee hearings, and that's been generally accepted.
Short of subpoena power, just with the fact that documents are public, I think Senator Hand, having gone to this, you know, the CSI website to see who the board members are, who the staff members are, might have helped clarify that in your complaint. And you know, you are the minority leader in the Senate, sending a letter to the superintendent or the chair of the school board, just asking them to respond, I think might have helped ease your mind before filing the complaint, or if you've gotten more support for your complaint by doing that. Please respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Lori, the fact that we are presenting in this hearing is the fact that there is a report that is a serious allegation, one that, frankly, I have not ever seen attributed to any member of the Senate, that they use their power to essentially say, do what we wish or we will make sure you don't get your money. I've had a lot, and you talked earlier, Madam Chair, about we all as senators, we interact with all kinds of other elected officials and boards, and we have differences. But I don't think that it's standard procedure to go to another elected board or others who may be a part of that board and say, you need to do what I want you to do or else. And if somebody alleges that, in this case it's the Minneapolis paper, that fact deserves to be investigated. Now, if it is true, which is what we're asking this committee to take on prima facie evidence that this was a true thing, if that is true, then that deserves to be investigated. And I would say if a person was an unknown source and they were alleging that, I think that they would probably be a little bit concerned to put their name on it if, in fact, that was true. If they were being threatened by senators to do something with the money or else, and someone was concerned about that, I think they'd be very reluctant to say publicly in a newspaper account, yeah, put my name down. I think the only way you probably will get that testimony is under subpoena. I don't think you'll get people who are willingly going to come and put themselves on record saying, yeah, this is what happened. That's why part of the letter that we wrote to you asked for, if you want to get the facts for this, we need to get those people here and put them under oath and see if, in fact, what is being reported is true.
Senator Lori.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, we don't even know who to call. It's one source. It's totally unspecified. I mean, and again, you know, you say it's a he said, she said, and we don't know who to believe. We have, and I'm reading right from the only piece that has this anywhere that I've seen. One source said Haiti and Champion threatened to withhold state aid if Minneapolis school official did not approve the contract. The school board person went on, Aline, confirmed we had members of the local legislative delegation that reached out to us urging us to support the work of CSI. That's very different than threatening. I mean, so the school board person that's willing to go on the record says something very different. We don't know who this source is. He said, she said, somebody's not telling the truth. We have our colleague under oath telling us he didn't even come close to a line. He didn't cross a line. He didn't threaten. He didn't use undue influence. He didn't coerce. We have, you know, a growing body of materials reported publicly, none of which allege this, other than this one source that's still to this day unnamed. He said, she said, we don't know who's telling the truth. You know, to me, you throw all this stuff on the scales, and I'm just not coming up with probable cause. Did you call any of the school board members, and ask them about the influence that was? And I mean, certainly that they may have supported CSI and thought that this was a valuable attempt at addressing, you know, a problem that really does ail us, that we need to pay attention to. Did you call any of the school board members to talk about this under your hands?
Madam Chair, are we having a discussion about the information, or are we cross-examining Senator Hand?
We are asking Senator Hand a question. That's what we are doing.
Madam Chair and Senator Lori, no, I did not call the school board, because if I take this comment to be true, I did not expect anybody on the school board to go on record without a subpoena. It's a serious charge. When you say that there's a state senator who is threatening you with consequences if you don't do what they say, that's a very serious matter. And I did not think that there'd be anybody who would say, yeah, I'm going to go on record and say that happened. I think that they're going to have to be compelled to be to come forward and say under oath what happened. I just don't believe that you're going to get people to voluntarily put their name on something like that.
Senator Fischbach.
Oh, Madam Chair, there's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Senator Lori talked about ginning, spinning up, whatever. I think you said spinning up the investigative powers. I don't think there's anything that compels us under the rules to spin them up. We can do a very small investigation. We can do, there's a lot of leeway for the committee to do a very brief, whatever kind of investigation we see fit. So we don't, I mean, there's nothing that says we have to go full blown. There's not even a requirement that we appoint somebody to do it. We can do it ourselves. But I think that there's enough questions here that we do need to find out. We need more information, unnamed sources, things like that. You know, as I look at this, the information, some of the information that was presented by Senator Hayden's counsel, it says MSP interview on the top. I don't know who asked the questions. I don't know who requested the answers. I don't know who gave the answers. Maybe there's some more information here under this, you know, at this website. I don't have that information in front of me. So there's no signatures from the school board members or who actually answered it. So, you know, this could potentially be considered hearsay too. So this that was supposed to be presented as something that would give us answers doesn't necessarily do that. You know, so there's a lot of things going on, and I think we need more answers. And that's why I think we should delve a little more and potentially move to that investigation. The other thing that I think all of us are missing here is that the public is requesting us to investigate this. I'm sure that all of you got this. Well, it was Senator Pappas, it's to you, and then I guess the three of us are CC'd on it that came yesterday. I'm losing track of days. October 21st from, and their names are on here.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Senator Fischbach.
There's an October 21st letter, and I believe it came email.
And how is this relevant to our investigation?
That we have the public asking us to do an investigation, and I think that's something we're missing. And it is relevant because we all serve the public, including Senator Hayden. And I think when we're asked by the public to look into something, particularly it appears as though many of these, I don't have their addresses, but many of these could be actual constituents. There's a couple from St. Paul, but that tells me that there's some unanswered questions that even the public has, that they're asking for more information. And I think it's part of our duty. Part of our duty to Madam President to take a look at that and to take it seriously when the public, I don't recall a time that the public has taken this much, paid this much attention to an ethics hearing and requested an investigation be done. So I guess I know that I believe that there's enough questions that we should at least, and no, not necessarily spin it up and do full, but we should move forward and gather some of that information that we all have questions about, or at least that I have questions about, and the public.
So is anyone going to make a motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair. Senator Lori, if I could. You requested Senator Hand should look into this a little deeper and a little further and ask the school board members and maybe call him up and interview him. I don't know that that's his responsibility. I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. Do we go that much further? And I'm not so sure that it would be in the best interest of the Senate for the senators to do that interviewing. I would think it would be, you know, somebody looking into this matter by, you know, I guess it's up to us as to who does it. But I certainly don't think a senator should be doing that. But I think that's kind of where we're at.
I'm sorry, what did you, a senator shouldn't be doing what?
Interviewing the school, excuse me, Madam Chair, and interviewing the whole school board to find out if these allegations are true. One way to do that is to have a small investigation, as Senator Fischbach is talking about, and have somebody go out and ask those questions.
No.
Senator Lori.
When I'm faced with these questions, and sometimes, you know, in the midst of heated debates,
You know, I pick up the phone. I call school board members. I call, you know, public officials, county commissioners, superintendents. Ask them their take. I mean, you know, it doesn't take swearing them in an oath to get some answers. I mean, I think that for us to take this step, I mean, honestly, if we are going to start doing this based on you know, unnamed sources alleging, you know, activity of any of our members, honestly, we are going to spend a lot of time together, the four of us. And, before we start those investigatory powers, you know, I think that I would respectfully request that a member really do all the due diligence that they could to bring together the most compelling set of facts to demonstrate on the four corners of the complaints that there are facts here that warrant disciplinary action. The facts aren't actually in the complaint. You're asking us to go find the facts. That's very different than any of the previous complaints. The previous complaints, you know, I've read them. So, Dean Johnson, you know, it was facts. He had, you know, a tape recording of his voice that was undisputed. Each of these were Senator Newman. You know, I mean, there was an email. You know, these were facts that were the basis of the allegations. And even in those, I mean, it wasn't, the investigatory powers weren't really invoked. I just think that it's really the burden of proof being on the complainant. I think that the complainant needs to take that burden seriously and do some due diligence to bring together facts that are better researched than what I'm seeing here. I mean, I would like to request
that. If I recall, in the Newman case, the email was not in dispute, but whether Senator Newman knew about the email.
Right.
And he said he did not know about the email, and the committee believed him and said there was no probable cause. After a very, you know, it was a very extensive, thorough hearing, but he said under oath that he was not aware that his aide had done that. So, any other
Madam
comments,
Chair, I don't think that was the only question he was asked. I think it was quite a bit of back and forth. Madam Chair, just since I have the floor, I do think that there's a lot of questions. And Senator Lori, potentially we don't have, whether or not you're going to say that Senator Hand should have gotten all those answers beforehand, we don't have them. And so I think that we need to, as the committee, we need to get them. And that's part of our responsibility, and we can do something to find out that information. I think we would be not fulfilling our duty if, when there are questions, we don't have them answered.
Madam Chair, I would actually disagree fairly strongly. I mean, I think as a committee, we should really take the burden on the complainant seriously and make sure that the complainant meets their burden of proof. If we don't take that burden seriously and don't require the complainant to come forward with the facts that if presumed to be true, warrant a violation, I'm serious. We're going down a very slippery slope where we're going to have a lot of complaints coming before us based on hearsay that's printed somewhere. You know, I mean, we're public officials. People can and do say all kinds of things about us. And if this committee decides that bringing forward any anonymous statement about one of us meets the complainant's burden, wow, that's, we're gonna have a lot more of these.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair, I will point out again that the public has requested this, and it's not anonymous. There are 8 or 9, I didn't count them, names that have asked us to look into this further. And I guess we are public servants, and that's ultimately who we serve. And, you know, our charge here is to maintain the ethics and the high standard that we are to live by of the Senate. And when the public is asking us to look into these things, I really do think that we should take it seriously. And
I don't have a printed copy of that. I did read it last night.
If you might take a look at it.
I saw it on email. I had it on my phone. I didn't have a printer hooked up. My recollection, it was an open letter, and you know they're really requesting an open process to look into the contracting that yielded the contracting process that yielded the CSI contract, and the Minneapolis Public School has a parallel proceeding where they're digging deeply into the procedures that led to issuing the contract to CSI, and then eventually canceling it.
And Madam Chair, Senator Lori, I'm not trying to interrupt, but yes, there's an open letter portion of it, but the letter proper that's addressed to Senator Pappas clearly requests an independent and thorough investigation into the ethics complaint filed against Senators Jeff Hayden and Bobby Joe Champ. I mean, so, yeah, there's an open letter there was an attachment asking about the investigation into the contract letting, I guess, but there's clearly asking for us to investigate the ethics issues.
Any other comments from members of the committee? Any suggestions? Any motions? Motions like to finding of no probable cause? I can't make the motion myself.
Madam Chair, I move that on complaint number one against Senator Jeff Hayden, we find there no probable cause to warrant an investigation at this time.
Any discussion on that motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, are the questions, are we done with questions to Senator Hayden? Or can that be brought
you
up?
You can ask a question, yeah.
Senator Hayden, I do have the public official notification here, and I'm questioning the nonprofit administrator profession. That you have. And my question to you would be, and you know where I come from, the world I come from, and that's always questioned throughout the Senate, and we have some fun with that. But not knowing a whole lot about what you do, if you were not a senator, it's called a nonprofit administrator. Would you be working with funds from the state of Minnesota similar to the CSI should you not be here? Maybe that's not a fair question, but is that kind of the work that you get involved in?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm trying to fix my Fitbit deal. Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you know, the nonprofit administrator is the work that I did before I got in the legislature. So, and my wife is here. And so, as I got in the legislature, one of the things that we figured out is because of such a busy district, very dense, very urban, that I would be a full-time or that I would not work in that I quit my job, in other words, and worked on issues in the district, as well as was the primary caretaker of my children. Now I have one in college and one in the eighth grade. So we aren't in the same pickle that we were when I first started, how much we get paid here and the work that we have to do. So I just kept it. I haven't changed the nonprofit administrator title. What I will say is that currently I don't work outside of the legislature, and I haven't in quite some time been a nonprofit administrator. However, I feel like that is the work that I do. That is the profession that I am, as well as serving with you as legislators. And so many of you, I know Senator Hand works in insurance, and I know that you're a retired law enforcement officer, et cetera. And so it is kind of what I, as a part-time legislator, what I'd like to do. I just have not been employed as a nonprofit administrator in quite some time. And then so I haven't changed that title. But it is the work that I do. It's the work that I've done over the years before I got in the legislature. And so hopefully that helps to explain what that looked like. But to your specific question, I haven't worked outside of the legislature. I haven't worked in the capacity of a nonprofit administrator in quite some time.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. And I understand that. I know what it takes to be a senator. And frankly, I don't know how anybody can do that other than, you know, I mean, I don't know how you can have another job, quite frankly, if you're going to do it. But my question is, before you were senator, was some of the job that you participated in, was there state funding for that similar to this? This is where I'm kind of going with this. Not necessarily, Madam Chair, a conflict of interest, but I sometimes we bring bills, and I'll give you an example, and everybody knows about it. Senator Stumpf got a winery up in Thief River in Plummer, Minnesota. And when wine legislation comes forward, he could actually benefit somewhat or a little bit about with that, and he bows himself out and doesn't do that. I would expect probably you would do the same if this came forward, but you actually carried the bill on this. And I'm wondering, I'm getting to a long question here, but I'm wondering, the work that you did before you came to the Senate, would these types of programs be the type of programs that would actually you would participate in and you would give guidance in and actually get paid to do?
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Hayden, I'm not quite sure the relevance of that, but...
Well, Senator Ingebretson, I'll just be brief. So I worked in nonprofit administration working on ending homelessness throughout the state. So in this particular instance, I've not worked as a nonprofit administrator on education issues or reducing the achievement gap or things that this particular piece of legislation, that's what I did. I'm not sure how far we want to go with this. We have teachers in the body, et cetera. Then
right.
We can have that conversation. But in this particular instance, no.
Is there any more discussion on the motion then? On the Lori motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach, do you have a
Madam
motion?
Chair, let me give a try on something. So it's not quite a motion yet, but maybe a possible point of discussion. I'm wondering, given that we've now, in particular, Senator Lori has expressed some concerns that Senator Hand didn't bring enough information forward, that and one of our options is the time certain. If we were to allow come back now that Senator Hand has an understanding of what we want or what Senator Lori would like in front of him, and give him some period of time, some time certain, that we would come back and revisit after Senator Hand has the opportunity to do whatever in some form. Obviously, he's not going to be able to do subpoenas, things like that, but some form of an investigation that may help Senator Lori answer some questions or think that provide more time for him to do due diligence.
Senator Fischbach, Senate Counsel has suggested that maybe that a signed affidavit from the school board chair be requested as to their position on this issue or if there was any undue influence.
Well, and Madam Chair, potentially from all of the school board members. But that's what that's why I'm saying if we had the opportunity, if we did a time certain, mm-hmm. we would have the opportunity to gather some of that information.
Senator Lori? If we could do that. We could look at dates. Maybe possibly next week. Would that be enough time?
Because, Madam Chair, Senator Lori said he wanted to spend a lot of time with us, didn't he? Isn't that? I think everybody heard that. Oh, come on.
No, but, I think requesting, a sworn affidavit from school board members to shed some light on this and coming back might work. I mean, we could talk about it a little bit.
And Madam Chair, I would say that we could task Senator Hand to find additional information that he may be able to find, And, you know, I mean, yes, I understand that he got the memo from Mr. Bodern, but even still, it's, you know, this is not a committee that we do every day, that we hold every day, so the procedures are a little more foreign to some, and so giving him the opportunity now that he has a better understanding of what we're, what the expectations of Senator Lori are.
Is that the main concern of the committee? Are there still any concerns about other concerns about the undue influence, or are there still concerns about Dr. Hayden? Are people satisfied with his statement to the Star Tribune that he's not employed? We could ask him to send us a letter.
Well, Madam Chair, I would say that that would be all part of kind of finding the information. You know,
okay.
I would say
Senator
Hamm
could also request that.
Certainly. And okay. I think that we come with additional information, answer some of the questions. I think we've had a reasonable discussion, and I think that there, we all know that there are additional questions and more need for paperwork, so to speak, additional information.
Do people have time to take out their calendars right now, or should we send around a notice about when people are available?
We might need to do a notice, Madam Chair. I don't think I have my full calendar.
All right, we'll send something out then first thing in the morning about availability dates, and do we want to, well, don't we have to set a time certain today? We do. We have to set a time certain right now.
Madam Chair.
So what we could do is we could take a five-minute recess. I won't recess yet. We could take a five-minute recess. You could look at your calendars, take a bathroom break, whatever, and then we'll come back and do complaint number two. But before we do that, we'll set a time certain to return to discuss complaint number one. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm sure if I could ask Senator Hayden another question then before we
Okay, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hayden, in a roundabout way, I believe you said no, you did not want the school board chairman to come and testify under oath.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what Senator Fischbach's request is here now about getting signed documents from each board member?
Senator Hayden.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, as you know, I'm respectful of the committee's process. So if it's your will, I think that, you know, that's your will and that's what you should do. I think what I was saying was that there hadn't been, as they talked about, Senator Hand had not brought anything forward that suggests other than an anonymous source said that we had pressured them. I feel very confident. I know I won't speak for Senator Champion, though he's in the room, that we never pressured anyone. So whatever the committee's pleasure would be, I know that we and I have counsel that I'm looking to expedite this as soon as possible to move forward. But what I can say to you is that we feel very confident, as I said, under oath, again, that we have not intimidated, pushed, coerced, or used our power to make the school board award that contract. So if it's the committee's pleasure to do a time certain and go out and have Senator Hand continue to do his work to try to make his case, so be it. But I wanted to make sure that you understood that I am that I do. And if you asked me the question, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I am concerned and offended that I continue to look you in the eye, continue to look my colleagues in the eye, to tell you that this is not something that I would do, and that an erroneous, an anonymous person in the vacuum of our world said that I did, that somehow my word with you and my word with the committee would not suffice enough to say that this didn't happen. But it is the committee's pleasure to do what it's done.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you very much for that, Senator Hayden, and I appreciate that because we're all under the microscope when allegations like this come forward, and this will, I think, clear the air one way or the other. And you said no before, but now you made it very clear that that's fine, and I appreciate
Well, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I want to be a Madam Chair.
Senator
I didn't say no. So I want us to be very careful that we don't start to put words in my mouth. What I said was that that no, I did not want the that the school board chair couldn't. I just didn't see the necessity of it.
Okay, why don't you send a, give a note to Katie, Ms. Joseph, not Josephson, Gasper. To Ms. Gasper about next week, whether you are available or when you're not available, morning or afternoon. And we'll take just a five-minute recess, and we'll come back and set a date certain for next week, and then we will also take the second complaint up. The committee is in recess for 5 minutes. We're going to proceed with the second complaint, and then we'll come back to this issue at the end of the hearing to take further action.
Laying it on the table, essentially.
In a sense, we're laying the complaint one on the table temporarily. Complaint number two. Then I think all the preliminary information has already been covered, so I think we can proceed with Senator Han, who I interrupted before, to complete his comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Secondly, the subcommittee needs to investigate Senator Hayden's involvement with Community Action Minneapolis. Senator Hayden was appointed to the Board of Directors of Community Action as an elected official, and I believe you got today a copy of the from the Senate website, the biographical data for Senator Hayden, where he does put on that website that he is a board member of Community Action. Having his wife serve on his behalf does not excuse him from the duties of this appointment. He was there as a member of the Senate, member of the legislature, therefore has at least the duty to not act in such a manner that reflects poorly on the Senate. He let the body down. He also let down the people of Minneapolis who needed heating assistance or weatherization services for their homes. The lack of board oversight of Community Action is reminiscent of the corporate scandals where board members did not perform their fiduciary duties and let management run amok with little or no accountability. His actions have made the Senate look bad. Professor David Schultz from Hamline University recently said, and this is in an article in the Capitol Report that I believe you have a copy of, and his quote is, "As a board member, you have a duty of loyalty, care, and obedience. You're acting as a fiduciary in the best interest of the organization, and you have a real legal duty to do your homework. State law says that." Unquote. State law he's referring to is 317A.251, Standard of Conduct, which states, quote, "A director shall discharge the duties of the position in good faith in the best interest of the corporation." Furthermore, the Office of the Attorney General has supplied guidelines to assist board members in performing their duties, and we did provide a document that takes those guidelines off of their website. These guidelines state, among other duties, quote, "The law imposes on directors the fiduciary duties of care, loyalty, and obedience to the law. Minnesota courts have held that the law imposes the highest standard of integrity on the bearers of these duties," unquote. This document also lists specific duties for board directors, including, quote, "A director must actively participate in the management of the organization, including attending meetings of the board, evaluating reports, reading minutes, reviewing the performance and compensation of the executive director, and so on. Persons who do not have the time to participate as required should not agree to be on the board," close quote. It is clear, I think, from the audit performed by the Department of Human Services, and you have that document, that the directors of Community Action Minneapolis, including Senator Hayden, did not do their duty as outlined in the law. Senator Hayden did not live up to the standard of conduct as a board member for CAM, and appointing his wife to attend meetings on his behalf does not excuse him from accountability. Perhaps even worse, accepting travel, lodging, golf, and spa treatments with the money that should have gone to low-income Minnesotans is unethical, perhaps illegal, and brings the Senate into disrepute. Senator Hayden should have known better. He has stated publicly, and this is Senator Hayden's comment, his public comment about his statement on his relationship to Community Action. He stated publicly that he paid the costs for these board retreats, even though in conversations that I had with a member of the DHS audit team, I was told there are no records of payment from Senator Hayden. This needs to be investigated. Did he truly pay his own way at the time, or did he quickly offer reimbursement when the perks were exposed by the auditor? Secondly, even if he did pay, it raises the question of why he felt obligated to pay his own way. If it is improper for him to accept these perks, should he not have objected to other board members or administrators receiving these benefits at the cost of taxpayers? Again, according to the DHS audit, Senator Hayden and his wife may have received per diem payments for attending meetings in violation of CAM's own bylaws. The subcommittee needs to investigate these per diem payments and ask for reimbursement. I guess just in closing, since we filed this complaint, as Senator Fischbach has mentioned previously, many people have come forward to express their concerns. not only about the influence of the Minneapolis School Board, but also about community action. Some have sent us emails. Others have been very public expressing how they feel. And we did provide the open letter that leaders of the community sent to Senate leadership and others asking for a full independent third-party investigation. In that letter, they specifically asked if elected leaders threaten the withholding of funding, which we have talked about previously. So my point, it's not just me and my colleagues that are asking for an investigation. The people who live in Minneapolis have a stake in the success of their schools, are also demanding action today from the subcommittee. Since we filed our complaint, legal action has been taken against Community Action in Minneapolis. The Minnesota Department of Human Services and Department of Commerce have suspended their funding, shut them down, arranged for their clients to be served by other Community Action agencies. An ongoing investigation is underway. The legislative auditor has also announced he will look into Minneapolis Community Action and other nonprofit agencies. So it's apparent that the issues raised in these complaints have generated a high degree of interest because they raise questions about the behavior of elected officials and the use of public dollars. These concerns demand a thorough investigation by the subcommittee. Bottom line is Senator Hayden should have known better. He should not have pressured the school board into awarding a grant. He should not have accepted perks from a taxpayer-funded organization. He should have performed his duty as a director on CAM's board in accordance with Senate rules, state statute, and with the guidance of the Attorney General's office. We hope that the Subcommittee on Ethics will agree with our concerns, and we await your findings. Let me just say, too, Madam Chair and members, and just an aside, based on the discussion we had previously, I did seek to get the records that were confiscated by the Department of Commerce and Human Services, and they informed me last night by email that because they acquired those things under subpoena, even though they acknowledged they probably were public documents, that I could not have access to them by simply requesting them. So it seems apparent to me that to establish these facts in their entirety, there would have to be a subpoena issued to the department to get them to release what they have already obtained.
You said these were the records, the CAM records?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes. I talked to both a representative of the Department of Human Services as well as Department of Commerce. They've indicated that they have complete set of all the documents pertaining to community action. The Department of Commerce message I received last night says that they obtained those records under a subpoena, and even though that they may be public data, they are not accessible to me by simply requesting to see them. In other words, if we want to see what the records are that show records of payments that were received by the organization or paid by the organization, the detail, we would need to see those records. I did ask for them. They said they would not supply them.
Questions from the subcommittee of Senator Hahn? Questions from Senator Hayden of Senator Hahn? Just questions.
No questions.
No questions. Okay, then let's move into presentation by respondent. Senator Hayden or
thank you,
Janelle.
Madam. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee. I'm going to make two points, opening points, regarding what I'll call the CAM matter or the Community Action Minneapolis matter. Let's start with the facts. This is different, actually, than the CSI. There is no anonymous source at all. There's just simply nothing. There is pure speculation in this complaint as to what Senator Hayden did or his wife did regarding Community Action of Minneapolis. It is entirely speculative, and it's based on the complainant, Senator Hahn's, reading of the audit. There's not any mention in the audit ever about anything specifically regarding Senator Hayden or Mrs. Hayden. So we got no facts, nothing specific, not even an anonymous source. There's just nothing. So here we have another ethics complaint, a second ethics complaint, that is made before there's any investigation. Now, I just heard for the first time from Senator Hahn that there was a request made for documents that was addressed last night. But that is the thing that you do before you make an ethics charge against one of your colleagues in the Senate. You don't throw it out there based on newspaper articles and no mention at all of Senator Hayden, and then try to investigate it later and see if there's any support for those claims.
The second point I want to make is I want to make sure that Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, that this doesn't become an investigation of community action, because that whole issue regarding community action and the allegations regarding community action doesn't relate to Senator Hayden and the ethics charge against Senator Hayden. That's something separate, and that's being addressed, as Senator Hand just said, by other investigations. And that's what the public is asking for, investigations, and they are ongoing by the legislative auditor and others, and perhaps by this body eventually. Not an ethics investigation against Senator Hayden when there's no basis for it. Sure, there can and will be investigations of the community action situation to check the validity or not of the factual, but that doesn't mean it should be done here with no factual basis against your colleague, Senator Hayden. So let me break down the complaint into two parts. The first part is an unsupported allegation that Senator Hayden accepted perks and per diem. And the second part is that as a board member, he didn't conduct himself properly. Look, our arguments based on the facts are contained at Exhibit B in the packet in front of you, senators. Regarding personal gain, never was there any per diem taken by Senator Hayden. Exhibit B, as in boy. Number the second one in the packet. Never was there any per diem or cash payments made to or accepted by Senator Hayden, and he is here under oath, and he will testify to that. There are no facts regarding Senator Hayden in the audit or in the articles. No specific. Of course, he's mentioned because he resigned his position, but it doesn't address that. There's also no mention of the articles, but you should know, and he will testify, that this was all volunteer activity for an organization in the city of Minneapolis. And both Senator Hayden and his wife participated as volunteers, not getting paid. All that time was the kind of things that you're probably involved in your other life, if there is an other life for a state senator, participation with your constituents in your community. Yes. They were reimbursed for some expenses. For example, for the Arrowwood Resort, which was a board meeting, and you can see at Exhibit I an example of the agenda for the 2011 board meeting at Arrowwood. There are meetings all day. And for the board member, there was reimbursement for expense. And in fact, that was for Mrs. Hayden, Mrs. Terry Hayden, who has special expertise in this area because of her work at Hazelden. And that's what she lent her expertise on this board. There was no reimbursement for expenses for Arrowwood for Senator Hayden. He went, I think, one time, maybe twice, paid his own way. And if the kids were there, they also paid for their own activities. That's what the facts show. There's nothing untoward about that. Again, I suspect that all of you, including Senator Hand, at one time or another, have gone to conferences. And perhaps you bring your spouse or your children along. That's separate from whatever is reimbursed for the conference. Let me also make one thing clear about the board designee. That is the next bullet point on Exhibit B. If you look to Exhibit C, you can see what the law is. That's the federal law that sets up or is the original authority for community action agencies. And specifically for public members, elected members that are a member of the board, they can designate, they can have a representative as their representative on the board. For a while, Senator Hayden was on the board as a designee of his aunt, who was on the park board. Then he was elected, and he continued on for a bit, and then he designated his wife. And the evidence, so, and he will testify, he went to board meetings and he participated fully as a board member. So let's talk about the board, because there's a lot of things thrown around by Senator Hand, by the Attorney General, and the professor, I believe at Hamlin, who's not a lawyer, said about this without knowing any of the facts. The facts are that there was an executive committee and a finance committee for Community Action in Minneapolis. And the facts are that neither Senator Hayden, nor his wife were on those committees. But at the board meetings, they got copies of the financials, which they reviewed and discussed, and they also got the audits or reports on the audits from Wifley. And you can see if there's some belief that, well, you know, an audit, but who is Wifley? Wifley is, as you can see at Exhibit H, is a very large public accounting organization with 1,200 associates, 140 partners, 22 U.S. offices, and other locations. And that's the organization that was each and every year auditing Community Action of Minnesota, excuse me, of Minneapolis. So what is the law on board member participation? And again, I suspect that some of you, if not all of you, are on nonprofit board, because all of us are involved in our communities on nonprofit boards, religious, community, and specific kinds of things. The law, and this is the information that was provided to you by Senator Hand, is found in Minnesota Statute 317A.251. It's in that packet that you all got this morning. And that law says specifically under reliance that a director is entitled to rely on information, opinions, and reports, including financial statements, prepared or presented by one or more officers or employees, two, public accountants or persons with professional or expert competence, or three, a committee of the board upon which the director does not serve, but the director reasonably believes the committee to merit confidence. The executive committee, and the finance committee. It is, this is the point I'm trying to make. I'm not going to beat around the bush about this. These board meetings discussed the finances each and every month and also discussed the audit. But there were other aspects of the board, the executive committee and the finance committee that handles that. And that, no matter what the political science professor says from Hamlin, no matter what that's not specifically on point from the attorney general says, this is the law on that, and that's exactly what happened. Now, obviously, Madam Chair and fellow senators, in a Monday morning quarterback way, you can say, geez, you know, I didn't know that stuff was going on. But the question is, in the context of this, is, you know, what was being done at that time? And Senator Hayden will testify that when he was involved, that was procedure. And I have Mrs. Hayden here who could testify the same way, because that was the procedure. But let's just look at that issue as a group. Does that form the basis for an ethics complaint? What happened or didn't happen as a board member? I would say not. There is absolutely nothing specific, not even an unnamed source, not even someone anonymous who said, gee, Senator Hayden knew the facts, knew the finances, and didn't do anything about it, or anything like that. That's not the case here. That's not what we're talking about, community action. This is something that came up that everybody, many people, were surprised with, and there's been a lot of coverage and a lot of investigations. There's no question about that. But that does not translate into an ethics violation under any provision of the ethics rules that the senators look at in this circumstance. So, this ethics charges are not guilt by association. Ethics charges are not Monday morning quarterback about what more you could have done or could have seen. Ethics charges are based on facts. And the two categories, the gist of the complainant's matter, there's just no facts to support it. There's no fact to support it. And this is the time. Because of the burden of proof, as Senator Lori has said, that the complainant has, and because there's nothing in these materials that directly point the finger at Senator Hayden, this matter should be dismissed. And the motion for probable cause should be granted. I now, if I could, Madam Chair and members, I would ask Senator Hayden to speak briefly on this.
Senator Hayden.
Good. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I just wanted to reemphasize what Mr. Nowen has said. I've never received any personal gain from Community Action of Minneapolis. My wife and I volunteered our time to support the organizations and its goals. Like other nonprofits, Community Action Board paid for some, but not all, of our expenses serving on the board. I was not involved in the financial management of the organization. It was handled by the executive committee and the finance committee. We were provided with monthly financial reports and budgets, annual audits by the Wifley firm, and there was no reason that I suspected that allegations of, that there was there was no reason why I suspect that there were financial mismanagement of the organization.
Questions from the committee of Senator Hayden.
Madam Chair,
I want to see if the committee members have any questions first. Questions from Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, and I've been trying to get this answer through the documentation here. Senator Hayden, how long have you been a member of this CAM organization, either as a senator or as a volunteer?
You know, I was just looking at that. I want to make sure I answer this question right. I think I first, 2008 is when I first became a alternate for a park board commissioner that Mr. Nowen referred to as my aunt in 2008. And then it was in 2009, the end of 2009 and 10, after I was elected and my aunt was not elected, and so that she no longer had a position. The board is one-third elected officials, one-third community members, and one-third business community, that then the seat that I held became the elected official seat. And it was around that time in which they approached me to see if my wife, who's here, Terry, would want to serve on the board because of her extensive knowledge in chemical and mental health. So the answer to that, I guess, 2008, Eight. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Follow up. So, Senator Hayden, you've reviewed the CAM.
Okay, she's taking it.
Report that's been provided here today. You read the audit?
Yes, some of it, yes. Well, most of it, yes.
Can you tell me, give me your gut feeling about what came of that? I have it in front of me. I have all kinds of notes here to ask if I need to do, but what's your feeling about this audit? Does it seem accurate to you? And if so, I'm talking specifically about the $1.3 million that went to some organized or to some parties that didn't qualify for those dollars in your community.
Yeah, well,
a lot of allegations here.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you know, that is something that I am extremely concerned about. And part of what I want to be able to do is to be able to support the proper organizations, the Department of Human Service and the Department of Commerce, along with whatever other bodies, OLA, Attorney General, whatever is appropriate to get to the bottom of that. So my sense would be that the organization, and when I was serving with the organization, and I think my wife would say the same, is that things were going well, people were being served appropriately, and that these allegations were new and foreign to us. So I don't want to go with my gut, because everything that I knew at the time was that things were going well with the organization and that what people were being served. What I want to know now, as these review and forensic audits and others are happening, is what actually happened to those dollars. Were they appropriately dispersed? Was the job of weatherizers being done appropriately? Were the programs being adequately services given? I'm deeply concerned. I think Senator Ingebrigtsen and most of you, I've served in various committees with you, work extensively, even in the legislature, on issues around people who are less fortunate than us. So I'm deeply disturbed at the allegations that this organization wouldn't be doing that, and anxiously await kind of a final decision and a thorough audit of if the services that were supposed to be rendered were rendered appropriately. I wouldn't know, because I don't go to attics and ensure that they're, you know, properly insulated, et cetera. I wasn't involved in the organization to know that, but I am anxiously awaiting and look forward to hearing, and would be thoroughly disappointed if for some reason truly those things weren't happening.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So again, I follow up, and Madam Chair, I'm going to try and make it as brief as I can. So maybe I should ask you, were you aware of some of the things that were going on here with regards to cruises, with regards to money being borrowed to the executive, I guess the CEO, Mr. Davis is his name. Were you aware of those employee morale events? You know, we certainly try and uplift our employees and things like that, but nevertheless, some of those appropriations are inappropriate, obviously, according to the audit. Were you aware of any of those? Since 2008?
So I wasn't aware of a lot of those things. I certainly wasn't aware of personal travel, if that's true. Most certainly wasn't aware. You know, the organization has the annual board meeting and retreat that's, I think it's Center Western's district, but it's up
2 miles from my house.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that before. We go in late May, and it's pretty cold out there. You never know what it is. But I think we talk, and I typically ask people if you've been around when I go up there to see if I could run into you. So I know about those types of organizations and standard things like a post-holiday party or, you know, things of that nature. But what I wasn't aware of, and still in, you know, anxious to see how this works out as to how those things were paid for, what the costs were. So I wasn't aware of any improprieties as now starting to come out as they start to go through this report and do a very thorough audit of the organization.
Questions by Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of points. I certainly agree with Mr. Nowen that the federal statute permits people to have designees attend board meetings on their behalf, but I'm not clear that that relieves the elected official of his obligation as an appointed board member. In fact, even on the website that we took this information from today, Senator Hayden lists himself as a director of Community Action Minneapolis. So he's a director, or maybe it's his wife who's the director. I'm not sure, but it seems to me clear that he at least has been a director if he is not currently one today, which he has said publicly he's resigned. The second thing I'd like to say is I read through the Department of Human Services audit, and in numerous cases it talks about the malfeasance of board members. It doesn't list anybody's name. There's a whole section on page 10 of that document that talks about board allowances, referring to undocumented or unallowable activities reimbursed to board members and senior management, including food, lodging, other entertainment services that do not appear to serve a business purpose, quoting from the audit. Other expenses charged to the board allowance account appear to be per diem payments to board members, which are not established or authorized by the board bylaws. So the fact that the audit that the Department of Human Services conducted points to money being received by board members without naming names, Mr. Nowen is right. It doesn't say anywhere in this document that Senator Hayden did this, and I'm not at this point, I'm not alleging that he did. I'm just saying that it is a question of fact that needs to be established. And so as a part of that, a week or so ago, maybe before that, I don't recall, I made contact with both the Department of Human Services and the Department of Commerce and asked them if I could have access to the records that they confiscated when they did their raid on Community Action. And as I indicated, I did get finally a response from the Department of Commerce last night that said I couldn't have those documents. But when I talked to somebody from the Department of Human Services, that person, who was a part of the audit committee, indicated that the detail that would say who received what would be in those records, but they didn't have them, but he said he thought the Department of Commerce had those records. And he also indicated to me that, because I was asking him, well, are there things in those records that would point to reimbursements from Senator Hayden for certain board expenses? And he told me that there was no record of any reimbursements from Senator Hayden. He also said there was a trip to New York that he and or his wife were a part of that was being questioned by the auditors in terms of its propriety and in terms of the expense. So my point is that I am not able, as a ordinary member of the Senate, to have access to the information that would establish whether or not the directors being named in general in this document include specifically Senator Hayden. But if they do, that's a very serious problem. And the only way that apparently we can get at the records to show who are the specific directors involved would be to get the hold of those records, which I'm being told now I can't have. And I assume that if this committee were to subpoena those records from the Department of Commerce, they could get them. And that, I think, Madam Chair and members, is what this committee needs to do to get the dates of meetings that were held by Community Action, who was in attendance on those meetings so people are aware of what decisions were made and by whom, and also the financial details of Community Action in Minnesota to establish which directors, in fact, were ones that received payments improperly.
That sounds like a rebuttal by Senator Hand. So now we have a rebuttal by Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of this subcommittee. Now we've heard from the complainant, Senator Hand, that I think I'm trying to quote it. He's not even alleging that Hayden did the things, Senator Hayden did the things that are in the, he's not even alleging that. He has no facts to support that. But then as he concludes, he'd like to be able to get documents that perhaps will, in his view, won't, according to the under oath testimony of Senator Hayden, support some of these allegations. That's not a proper ethics complaint. That's not facts at all. It's even less than, members, senators, even less than it was in the original complaint. And it's like Senator Hand and the other complainants have an itchy trigger finger. They just shot out that there may be an ethics complaint without any facts at all to support those allegations. With all due respect, Madam Chair and senators, this committee should send a clear message that to potential complainants that they must come forth with facts to support allegations before making complaints. Because the very fact of an ethics complaint, as I said in my opening remarks, is damaging in and of itself, just the fact of it, whether or not there's a basis for it or not. And now we have the complainant admitting in his comments just now that he's not even alleging that Senator Hayden did these things. Our request is that this complaint be dismissed for lack of probable cause.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair. Mr. Miller, I take exception of that just a bit, because Senator Hand clearly stated that he was not allowed to get that information. So there, we need to have some consistency. You either want him to get it or you don't. And under the first complaint, you were saying he didn't have it. Now under the second complaint, he's trying to get it and can't get it. And now I take a little bit of exception with the fact that you're saying he has no information. He, under his sworn testimony, he attempted to get the information. So let's make sure that we all understand that. He did attempt to and was unable to from the department.
Mr. Bodden, could you talk a little bit about the Data Practices Act? Shouldn't these documents be public data? And at some point, did they give you an idea? Before you answer, Senator Hand, did they give you an idea of when they might be made available?
Madam Chair, and to the point that you're asking, I did talk to the person on the from the Department of Human Services and also with the representative of Department of Commerce, who was Peter Brickwetta, who's the legislative liaison, I think. And they both indicated that there could be some reason to have some of the documents be purged of things like credit card numbers of certain. So, and that's, of course, nothing that we would be interested in knowing what the numbers were of accounts. But there were some things in there that probably would not want to be revealed publicly.
So they had to do that before they could release them?
Well, they did say that, the email I got last night from the Department of Commerce they said that they got this data under subpoena, and the data collected is classified as protected non-public according to the Department of Commerce. So I think what I was asking them is, I say, look, I have no interest in knowing or bringing forward any data that might be personal in nature. All we are looking for, and I told them exactly, I said we needed to know what the meeting dates were of the organization, who attended those meetings, what their agenda was, and then the financial details of what payments were made and received by the organization, because the audit refers to directors, but it doesn't say which ones. And I said, in order to establish that, we need to take a look at those records. but apparently they're not available to me.
Senator Lori. Yeah, Mr. Bonner, can you shed any light on this?
Madam Chair, I'm not a data practices expert. There are other attorneys in my office who are. What I can say is it could be there are portions of that document that may be public and protected, and it could be redacted. I don't know from listening to Senator Hand's testimony whether or not a Data Practices Act request was formally made, and can't speak to the department's reasoning on the subpoena as that affects its status under the Data Practices Act. So it is a complex issue.
Okay. Senator Lori.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also, of course, read the complaint carefully and read the audit, which was incredibly disturbing. But I'm going to go toward the parallel investigations that are currently occurring. I mean, they're going to get to the bottom of this, and they've made no. They've not hidden that fact. I mean, they went in with a warrant and seized all of the records to make sure that the Department of Human Services and the Department of Commerce, to make sure that they had a complete auditable set of records. They may, as Senator Hayden indicated, involve the Attorney General. They may involve the Office of the Legislative Auditor, who's, looked at this entity before. This is a whole set of parallel investigations, the result of which will uncover whatever facts there are to be discovered. And, I think that allegations attributing actions of board members to a specific board member ahead of knowing the facts is premature. Going to the letter, I'm going to read the same instructions for what the purpose of the probable cause hearing is that we received from counsel. And I will say also, this is essentially the same format of letters that have been forwarded to this committee in several previous ethics charges. So this is not new to those who have been involved in ethics, but the purpose for a probable cause hearing is to determine whether, if the facts presented in the complaint are presumed to be true, the conduct described is subject to discipline under the Senate rules. On Senator Hand's own assertion, we don't have the facts today. There are independent investigations, forensic evaluations that will yield a great deal of additional insight into exactly what occurred here, and I actually will pay close attention to them. I take them incredibly seriously. I mean, these were some really troublesome findings for those of us who care about public service and really want our scarce public resources used for the purpose for which they were intended. So, I mean, I too will be following this very carefully. But when I go to the four corners of the complaint, the eight statements, I don't see the facts today to substantiate a finding of probable cause on this. I mean, and I'm not saying that nothing happened. I'm saying we don't have the facts today. We would be wise to wait until the facts come out from these other parallel investigations, again, from Commerce, from DHS, from the AG, from the OLA. There's been many references to 317A.251, which is the duties and obligations of board members. If there was a breach of the fiduciary duty on the part of Senator Hayden, there are civil sanctions and civil liability for those violations. This will all be known. We will have a lot more facts on this, and for us to try to do an additional investigation will at best muddy the waters and call the character and representation of a colleague into question at a point when facts are just not knowable.
Madam
and we
Chair.
should allow those parallel investigations to continue and then see what the facts are.
Senator Fishbach.
And Madam Chair, I guess, did I miss it that we know when that's going to be? Is there a time that this is going to be done, or you're just talking into the future?
Right.
Do we have any clue? I mean, like, how long does it usually take? Maybe as Chair of Health and Human, you have potentially some influence over that.
Madam Chair, Senator Fishbach, you know, I mean, I think I know they're taking it very seriously, and they're working. They have a big staff, and seem to always ask for a lot more FTEs, but
double digits, always, Senator Lurie, double digits.
But they're working very hard on it, you know, both Commerce and DHS. I don't know the extent to which the AG is involved. I don't know the extent to which OLA is involved, Office of the Legislative Auditor. But I don't have a time certain when these facts would come forward. But, I mean, honestly, I think that a properly formed complaint would want to rely on facts that came out of this much more thorough investigatory process that all of these other entities with tremendous additional experience and resources to this type of forensic audit than our body has. I mean, we don't have the resources, we don't have the expertise, we don't have the experience, we don't do this.
Well, and Madam Chair, Senator Lurie, it does say we have the power to appoint somebody to have somebody do that. But Madam Chair, Senator Lurie, is there any indication that they'll be back next session? I mean, is it that long of an investigation? I mean, you joked about the FTEs, but I'm just curious if there was maybe just a grain of truth in there and they'll be back asking for more money to complete the investigation.
I just wanted to check to see if
we had that might give us some idea of timeline.
So one option would be, since none of us are going anywhere, would be for the complaint to be withdrawn, and then once these investigations are completed, and appeared to be an issue with Senator Hayden, that you could refile the complaint. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't disagree, and I think that there is, as Senator Lurie has indicated, an investigation going on. I don't know who all is involved, but that is an investigation of Community Action of Minneapolis as an organization. We are talking about an ethics violation that may or may not ever be revealed publicly if they do an investigation of Community Action. It may not be anything that would be rise to the level of a criminal investigation that yet nevertheless may still be I'm just looking at the audit document, which talks about the things that were going on and putting them in a very negative light. They're very concerning to all of us. It says specifically that directors received improperly perks and benefits. Doesn't say which ones, but do they know which ones? Absolutely they do. They have the financial records that would document which directors got payments for what things and when, and if there are any reimbursements, who made them and how much and for what. Those are all part of the records that they now have, which they're now saying to me that I cannot have access to because I can't subpoena them. But those things are the subject of an ethics investigation. They are very peripheral to the kind of investigation the department is doing toward Community Action, at least in my understanding. So I think
Senator Hand, if they're violating their own bylaws, that by providing non-reimbursable expenses, or if they're violating federal law because they're providing non-reimbursable expense, paying for things that they weren't allowed to pay for, that should come out in the investigation.
And Madam Chairman, that is detailed in this audit. It does make that very charge. It just doesn't list the individual names. And as I said, I don't know why in any further investigation they would get to that level of detail and say, well, it was this senator who did that and this senator who did that. Those are the kinds of things that are properly a part of an ethics investigation. I think there is enough prima facie evidence by this document alone to say if a person served as a director, which Senator Hayden admits and was up until a very few days ago, maybe a week or two, that there is some level of concern that we ought to all have and some desire to know whether or not the directors being referenced in this document include Senator Hayden or not. And why we would say, well, let's wait and see what the other investigation that has nothing to do with the behavior of individual directors, but has to do with the operation of the entire organization. I don't know why we would want to say let's not do our duty as a Senate and investigate to make sure we as a Senate are not being besmirched by the activities of somebody who's been affiliated with this organization.
Senator Hayden or Mr. Nowlin, any comments?
Let me just say briefly that I don't know, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, all the duties of the Senate. I do know what I've learned about this ethics committee, and there have to be facts that form the basis of a complaint, and it can't be a fishing expedition, like the term that was used for the earlier one. And really, what it boils down to is that we have an admission that this complaint is not even alleging, at best it's premature, not even alleging Senator Hayden was involved in this. Because, and the comment of Senator Fischbach, yeah, it's true. It doesn't have the facts, and I take it as a word that he's tried to get the facts. But the pivotal point, the fulcrum point, is that there aren't the facts. And so this committee doesn't have the facts to address it. It is true, as I indicated in my remarks, that there are all sorts of other investigations going on, thorough investigations where there will be documents. Right now, of course, there is an ongoing investigation, which my limited knowledge of data practice means that it's hard to release that information. But it is releasable, but it just takes some time to get that. And all that is being done in other forums right now. So I stay with the same position. No facts to support, not even an anonymous source, and therefore an inappropriate request here.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Let me talk about a couple of facts that or at least one that I know is that Senator Hayden said you started in 2008 on this board. And when was the date that you terminated your membership of the board? And the other question I have is, when was this been referred to now as a raid? When did this go on? When did this CAM organization end?
Well, thank you, Ms.
Temporarily.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My resignation was it was not too long after the story was there, that the story was presented that there was this this issue in this audit. So I don't have my letter handy, but it was soon after, and it was in a statement that I made, that it looks like the statement that Senator Hand put out was September 23rd, that I resigned. And so that's the answer to that question. And then it appeared to be, and I don't have that handy, but it was within a couple of weeks, you know, maybe even the same week, of kind of this stuff kind of hitting the news, that it sounded like the Department of Human Service and Commerce, which I haven't been in contact with them about this issue in terms of since this story has broken, went in and got the records and started to work. I wasn't a part of the board at that time when they went in to shut down the organization or to get the information and shut it down.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So were you part of the board of directors when this audit
When it was made, when it was reported in September, I was still a part of the board, but I soon after resigned. And one of the reasons for resignation is because I do serve not only in this body, but I serve as a member and have of the HHS. I've served with many of you. And one of the decisions I made as we were thinking about this in real time, if you will, is I did not want anyone to think that I somehow was going to have any, if this was going to have to come before the legislature or if that was the work that DHS had to do, I wanted to make sure that they were able to do the work without thinking that I would have influenced their results.
Mr. Nowlin.
If I may, Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, the facts as I know them are that Senator Hayden, who wasn't a senator then, began on the board about the 1st of January 2008. He was elected toward the end of that year, 2008, I guess, and then at some point in 2009, I couldn't quite find it in my notes, his wife became the designated board member. It's a little unclear exactly what happens when there's a designated board member, but I can tell you one thing, that from that point forward, when Mrs. Hayden became the board member, she's the one who attended the board meetings. It was about sometime in 2009,
and sometime after he was the active board member, if that helps answer your question, Senator.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, thanks for that. I'm still
grappling with this, and I hope I'm not the only one in this room that's looking at this report and seeing that there was a $100,000, and I think, Senator Lori, you even talked about assessment, $100,000 now has got to be paid as far as a sanction or fine, $100,000. And as a fiduciary board member, one would think that, I'm only going to go with my opinion, and I think that's worth, not worth a whole lot, although you have asked if other members have been part of different organizations. I have as well. I'm sure everybody has. When we have problems, we try and fix them. One comes to mind. There was some allegations of employee abuse on a board that I actually sat on in my other life. And, you know, these were terrible things to have to deal with, but we dealt with them and we moved on. And there was a termination involved, and those were very touchy situations. But nevertheless, as a board member, that was one of my responsibilities. And it's pretty hard to be the board member of something that's now been put on the back burner. Obviously, they've shut this down. So if it would have continued down the line and you wouldn't have made actions towards making it better, I'd be a little more concerned. But
I understand how this has been discontinued.
Yes.
And has been discontinued in Minneapolis. And with any of this stuff, these allegations or
assessments by this
auditor are accurate.
I think you're right, Senator. There may be some
other repercussions coming here,
not necessarily to the board members.
Senator Lori.
Madam Chair, and as I read the thing, I think to the board members. I mean, the board members were clearly implicated. And I don't know which ones. I mean, I think that will be public in the investigations, who did what and what was improper. And they do have, you know, certain duties. And if there were amounts paid to board members that were improper, I think they made clear in the investigation in the ensuing seizure of the records that they're going to try to recover the monies that were inappropriate. I mean, I welcome that, and we'll see what comes of it. And at that point, you know, then we'll have the basis. But today, we don't.
Senator Hand, I guess I feel more confident than you do that this information will come out eventually.
Well, let me just, Madam Chair, and Sir Lori, and Mr. Nowen, and others, the request is for some facts. We have on the fact that Senator Hayden admitted publicly before this hearing that he had gone on a trip to Arrowhead Resort or something else, and that he also said that he reimbursed the organization for that trip. He didn't pay it. Or paid his own way. Is that the better way to say it? I'm not quite sure. But the other fact, I guess, if we want to get to that, is in the conversation I had with the people on the audit team who, in pursuit of detailed information, they told me there was no record of that. So Senator Hayden said this happened. The auditor said, well, there's no record of that happening.
Madam Chair.
The other thing, and just to continue, I was also told, now I'm under oath too, that the same person told me there was a trip to New York that Senator Hayden and his wife took that also raised questions in the minds of the auditors. Now that has never been talked about publicly. So that is a fact as well. So on the basis of facts, we have the audit report that mentions directors in general, but I have under oath will tell you that I have had conversations with some of the people who gave me details that obviously I can't show you because I don't have the documents. But were told to me in good faith as not being substantiated by the records of CAM.
Senator Hayden.
Well, Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify that I know we like sometimes we do that in our body. We kind of somebody says one thing and somebody hears it as another. What I meant by that is that I didn't reimburse the organization that if, for instance, for example, in Senator Engelbritzen's great district. They have a really nice piece of walleye. If I ordered walleye for myself, I paid for the walleye. If my kid, or my youngest and her friend wanted to ride their bike around that lake you have there, I don't know what the lake's called, Lake Alexandria, whatever the lake, that we paid for that. That's what I just wanted to make sure that, because Senator Hamm was saying, well, there was no reimbursement. Well, yeah, because we paid for it. I just wanted to make sure that when we say that or when we read it, I know that sometimes it means one thing to one person and another to another, and I just wanted to clear that up.
So therefore, there'd be no record of that.
There'd be no record of that, other than whatever. There'd be no record of that in the community actions law. My own personal bank account.
So
Senator Lori.
Madam Chair, a question to Senator Hayden, though, because the implication is that at some point you saw that this was beginning to get dicey, and you made reparations and sent a check to CAM. I mean, that's the implication. Let's just lay that on the table.
No.
Did that happen?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Senator Lori, no.
Thank you.
Well, any other discussion here? Senator Engelbritzen.
Did you bring records along to prove that you did pay for it? Or can you? Do you have access to
your personal
to that?
Bank account?
Would you
like
have
you
that?
Mentioned.
Well,
and I don't know what time frame we're talking.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Lori, and I'll allow Mr. Nowen to kind of talk about what we're trying to do here. But, you know, once again, I can assure you that we were able to, that I can show you, if that's what the committee at some point, I don't think that's what we're looking at today, but if that's what it is, I could definitely show you that. But I want Mr. Nowen, that's what he's here for, and also members of the committee to talk about what it is specifically that we hear, what Senator Hand needs to prove before we get into that stage of the complaint.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lori.
Honestly, I'll do deference to questions. There are answers forthcoming. I would like to wait until we have more answers than questions and have a properly formed complaint that has facts in front of us. With that understanding and not closing the door to filing another complaint, I would move that we dismiss complaint number two. Finding no probable cause.
Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion fails. Is there any other discussion? Members and Senator Hayden and Senator Hand, Senator Britton, Senator Fischbach, we've discussed already with the first complaint coming back next week and receiving affidavits from the school board. We could also ask Commerce and DHS to come and tell us when they will have information from their investigations that they're doing and when they will have data that will satisfy the complaint. Senator Hand.
Madam Chair, in my conversations with the department, they have the information. Mm-hmm. They just said that they wouldn't give it to me. And I think that if this committee were to subpoena those records that would show the financial transactions and the attendance of meetings and so forth, which would be relatively easy to obtain, I think they could produce those by next week. And I think that would be a very simple way of finding out who were directors, who weren't, what were the agendas of the meetings that they served on, and what the financial records show with respect to payments to specific directors. And so I think that the question of do they have the information, they certainly do. They told me they did. They just said I couldn't have it.
Senator Hand, perhaps if we brought them before the committee and asked them with the, you know, the entire committee, if they, you can't have it now, if we can't have the information now, when we would get it, or could we get parts of it, or could we get the part that was relevant to the to our concerns here, or relevant to the complaint? I'm just trying to, we're 2-2 vote, so I'm trying to figure out a way to go home tonight. Yes, you too. Right. Senator Lori.
You know, depending on what information we get, I'm not certain that we'll get deep enough to determine, you know, there was a reimbursement for this. I don't know exactly what, some reimbursements are proper and some are not. You know, I mean, we can find out, it was, you know, admitted to in Exhibit B that reimbursement for some but not all expenses. I mean, it's admitted. We will find some reimbursement. What does that tell us today? We don't know. We don't know without the more thorough investigation of the bylaws and the federal law and the state law and all of the interactions and all of that forensic work, auditing work that is being done by all these entities, what's an improper and what's a proper payment. I mean, I think that might be a really fruitless endeavor to try to get answers to very narrow, specific questions in the midst of an ongoing investigation. I mean, maybe a broader question that that could be fruitful is sort of this, Madam Chair, you said that you have a greater comfort that the results of these other parallel proceedings will be made public, and I take it that will be specific enough to determine the wrongdoing of any individual, and I have a fairly high comfort level of that as well, and maybe Senator Hann and the complainants and don't have as great a belief that it'll be made public and it'll be specific enough to give us what we want. Maybe we could ask that question somehow. Yeah. Will it be made public?
When and what?
And what level of specificity will there be? I don't have the answers to that question either. But again, when I go to the job before us today, I mean, I'm really struggling looking at the four corners, the eight statements that you put on paper, that said that, you know, based on these eight statements, I'm supposed to find probable cause. I'm just not seeing it there in the four corners of this document, the facts laid out. I mean, there's more questions than there are facts, and I think the facts are coming. And I'd like to, I think it prudent when reputations are on the line and there's much more skilled investigators and with the team, the experience, the history, all of that working on this, I think it would be unwarranted for us to continue this at this point.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam Chair, I think it's already been established that on complaint one we're coming back. So there, I don't see any harm in coming back and asking some of those questions to the department. If the chair sends a letter to the departments explaining we need information, please, you know, maybe even mention what you need, and they'll show up and we can ask some of those questions.
Excuse me, what's that noise?
It's not my phone. It's somebody's phone. But Madam Chair, I think that it wouldn't hurt. Then you can potentially ask, are you digging in this deep, that kind of thing. So I think since it's already established we're coming back, maybe that's the opportunity for us to talk to the department at that time too.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's a real workable solution as to where we're at right now, especially in light of the fact that if this committee is reluctant to ask for subpoenas, which seems to be...
I don't think we've ever done it, so it seems pretty heavy-handed.
But if I was, you know, somebody inquiring from this committee to them saying that we want to see those records or we will pursue the first time ever subpoena of your, I would say, public documents, in light of all of the things here, I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that we represent that are looking at this that have these documentations. And for us to walk out of here without at least saying we're gonna investigate this a little more thoroughly through this committee, and what Senator Fischbach had said, maybe a time certain. But I'm of the mind to make a motion, but I'll hold that back to do the first ever subpoena. Now, not necessarily going to pass, but I think it's to the point where we need to understand what's going on here. These are very disturbing, and if I'm part of that, I as a sitting senator would want that cleared up. If there's any implication that somebody was looking at me for any wrongdoing, I would absolutely want this cleared up. Especially as localized as this is. This is not all of Minnesota. This is right in the senator's district. And I just think it has to be followed up on.
Okay. Has that already been scheduled? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Senator Lori.
Thank you. You know, a question that came to me, that has come to me several times over this is, I mean, the nature of this data that's held and that was obtained through, you know, exercising a warrant and seizing these records, I don't know that, I'm not a data practices expert either, but evidently there was a phone call recently and a request for them, and the verbal was that, no, we're not going to give it to you under this request. I think that, you know, anything that's able to be gotten has to be given upon a written request, is one of the things I've recalled, and that they would have 30 days to respond. But then something that's based on different data classifications, we keep talking about issuing a subpoena. I'm not even certain that would get us the information. I mean, if we were to issue a subpoena to the Department of Commerce to get these records, if they're otherwise protected, in that instance, is that part of our subpoena powers? I mean, I know we have some subpoena powers, but I don't know if that gets us the records or not, honestly. I really don't know the answer to that question.
Madam Chair,
Senator,
might
Fischbach.
I suggest that we have them in front of the committee and ask them very nicely first, and then, I mean,
well,
because
I mean,
but I think that potentially, you know, that we've been throwing that word around quite a bit, but I think maybe... And we could ask them, see what they, I mean, if they understand potentially that we do have subpoena power, you know, that may make things.
May influence the answer?
Yeah.
Right.
Even though we may not understand exactly what our subpoena power is.
Madam Chair.
Yeah. Senator Hand, then I have a proposal.
Okay. I want to offer to, and I'll certainly make available the copy of the follow-up email I got last night from Department of Commerce that I referred to earlier. They do say that they got this information under a subpoena and that they consider it classified as protected non-public. However, they also say that Community Action has the original records and that we should we could go to them directly and ask for that, because they say we agree with you that the underlying data related is likely public data. But they're saying that the things that they collected, they got under subpoena and therefore are not. So my point is that we are going to get answers from them if we subpoena their answers from the department, or we could try to get the answers from Community Action, but I don't even know if there's anybody there to respond to the request. So I'm not sure that unless you file a subpoena, they're going to be coming here with any.
Well, if they took the original documents and didn't make copies of them, I mean, I'm not sure that's real practical either. But I did want to propose that we've been talking about three different things. So the first one relates to the first complaint, which is that Senator Hahn is going to ask the Minneapolis School Board to clarify their interaction with Senator Hayden on the issue of the CSI grant. Then the committee could request that Commerce and DHS come in and tell us the progress of their investigation and when they expect to be done and when they expect to be releasing this data and can they, you know, release anything that's not redacted. And then I wanted to redacted.
It's okay.
I'm channeling Perfirst. Anybody who's been around here long enough to remember Clarence Perfirst. He probably chaired in this committee room. And then I wanted to propose, since we already have a meeting scheduled for Wednesday 11:05 at noon to consider the Champion hearing, if we could take care of these two matters first and then go into the Champion meeting, just to save us all another meeting time. So if someone wants to put that into a motion, Senator Fischbach?
You know, Madam Chair, I'd be fine with that. It really does limit, I mean, because that starts at noon, so we're going to start at, what, 9, I'm assuming, and potentially?
No, the meeting would start at noon.
Yeah, but that is the Champion meeting, so you'd have to set a separate meeting.
Oh, no, I just meant we'd start the whole thing at noon. I mean, okay. We were pretty efficient with time here. We spent about less than two hours on the second complaint.
Okay.
So question.
But I think
we'll have.
I think you have to have.
We could start. I still think it's difficult to start earlier than we have to take a lunch break.
Well, that's fine. But I then say that's at 2, 3, 4, whatever.
If members wanted to start a little bit earlier, I'm personally open. But I know that we had all asked you to schedule to save that on your schedule. So yeah. if we start the continuation of this hearing at noon and hopefully be able to start the Champion hearing at 1, that still gives us the whole afternoon.
All right. I guess you're going to change the Champion hearing and then bump this one into okay.
But they'll both be on that.
Does that work,
yeah.
Senator Lurie?
I have that day set aside.
Because he was looking forward to hanging with us.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, is that
so the proper motion then would be number 2 on Mr. Bodden's document
time
here?
Time?
Yes.
Voting
yes.
to defer
number
action
two,
until yeah. certain
voting
time.
To defer action until Wednesday, November 5th at noon.
So in both these actions, both these.
Right. Where we will, that's right.
Points.
So we'll, with these, both complaint number 1, number 2. And then the Champion complaint time will be changed to 1:00. But that's not in the motion. We'll just send that so you know.
Madam Chair, might I suggest that I would just say that should probably be at 2, just to give yourself.
It's fine.
Because you are dealing with two complaints and.
That's fine.
Sit there, Senate time involved, so.
Yeah. That's fine. So the motion, Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Well, one other point I'd like to make before I make it, if I make a motion to that effect, is that, quite frankly, Madam Chair, the request from you going to this agency would mean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've been throwing around this
to Commerce and DHS. That was my intention.
Okay, that is your intention. That would come from you. Okay, instead of this terrible word we have, subpoena, that was flying.
Oh my goodness.
Does anyone else want to comment, Senator Hahn or Senator Hayden?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It appears in talking to my counsel that time and date would work for us.
Okay. Senator Hahn? Okay, then who's going to make this motion? Senator Ingebrigtsen wanted to?
Did you want to?
I certainly would make that motion.
Vote to defer action until November 5th at 12 noon.
On
complaint 1 and complaint 2.
Complaint 1 and complaint 2.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. There being no more business before the subcommittee, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right.